mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Another Friday is already upon us. And it's amazing, but 2016 is already long in the tooth as we hurtle towards the election. What is it, 65 days out right now? 66 days. T-minus 66 days. But I guess if you count election day, it's 66, but 65, depending on how you look at it. Wow. Look at the economic numbers that are up on DrudgeReport.com released by the federal government. And remember, these are cooked numbers. August jobs, 151,000. Unemployment rate unchanged at 4.9. Biggest gains are in bars and restaurants. Yes, low-paying service jobs. Army of men out of work. The big corporations admit that they have actuaried everything out to phase men out by 2035 from almost all professions. And, of course, robots are going to be phasing women out as well. But you need to first teach everyone that men are worthless and remove them from all leadership roles. So the women will be alone when they face the technocracy, while the men are all wire-headed up in VR with their girlfriends in Fantasyland, playing World of Warcraft and Call of Duty 10.0. That's the world we're hurtling into, their admitted plan. But who cares about admitted plans for global government and technocracies? It's just easier to make fun of those, actually warning the public. We've got big lights out as the hurricane steams towards and slams in to the eastern seaboard. We'll be breaking all of that down. You know, I've not really been covering this NFL football player, even though it's interesting, because it's such a complex issue. Starting with CNN taking out of context basically what he said, and then him making truthful statements about Hillary, that she's a criminal, but moronic statements about Trump, and then wearing white pig police socks. This is just a confused person. That's why some of the stuff he says is true, some of the stuff he says is wrong. He's trying to make a stand. Before the New York Times takes us out of context, or Media Matters, I'm not saying he's a hero. I'm not saying that I support what he's doing. But the guy has dumb courage. I mean, to sit there in a football stadium where everybody boos you on one knee during the national anthem, during the Star Spangled Banner, it takes some big old huevos. Small brain, but a lot of guts. And I don't mean literally as a small brain. But I don't think he's consciously out there trying to hurt people. He really thinks he's doing the right thing. And this is a horrible, evil country because George Soros' brainwashing has gotten to the poor guy that makes, what is it, over $100 million or something ridiculous? Oh, my gosh, you're so oppressed. And the evil Marine oppressing you, he probably makes $40,000 a year. It gets old when you actually have the real statistics. So it's a landmine-strewn field. It's complex. I've tried to look at it. And quite frankly, with world economic meltdown happening, with Germany telling its citizens prepare for a super big emergency, but won't say what a week ago today, to have Gary Johnson, who I'll be honest with you, I haven't really paid attention to him. I know he's there as a spoiler for Trump. I know I don't like him. I've been around him in person. And I've known Johnson for 10 years. I mean, he's been in studio at least 6-7 times, okay? I mean, I was in a film with him. It's just, I actually did some digging into him the last few days, and boy, it's worse than I thought. He is a Democratic Party operative, no doubt about it, with big globalist money going to him, and he is pro-TPP, we know that, but his VP is anti-gun. He wants them all banned. I mean, And Johnson is now anti-gun. I mean, this guy's bad news.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Friday, the second day of September, 2016. And we are 66 days out from probably the most important election in United States history, if not in world history. Not since the founding of this republic and the kickoff of the war that made that possible in 1775 have the stakes been as big or as clear for the future of humanity. That's why the battle against the British Empire was called the shot heard round the world, the commencement of that, because no one had beaten the British up until that point around the planet. They'd beaten the Spanish, they'd beaten the French, they'd beaten the Prussians, they had beaten the Russians, they had beaten the Portuguese, the Dutch, everyone, over and over and over and over and over again, because they never gave up. But they lost here, because they came to the realization that the population was never going to submit, was never going to give in, was never going to back down. It was 3% that started the war when the British came to confiscate the firearms. It was 5% that fought the war. Another 5% that supported them. And by the end, it was around 20%, historians agree, both British, French, and colonial. 20% at the end. In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. We are seeing media disinformation, media twisting, lies against Donald Trump, the Trump family, Matt Drudge, myself, InfoWars. It is a badge of honor to be lied about, to have them spin, to have them disassemble, to have them take what I say out of context, to have them misrepresent over and over again, because these are discredited organizations and groups. But the mainstream media, the corporate media, is still able to have some power when they all combine forces and put out giant hoaxes in unison. They are still able to push certain lies successfully to the public. Like Donald Trump's deeply racist. Or vaccines are safe and effective. That is, they're able to push it to 50% or more of the public. Record numbers, it was in the Associated Press yesterday, of Americans and folks in Europe are not taking vaccines. In fact, the more higher educated you are, the less vaccines you take. Wonder why? Maybe you know how to read a drug insert. Maybe you have a memory. Maybe you remember how many people have died from vaccines. How many people have been maimed by vaccines? This is just an example of what we're dealing with. I mean, how many people know the Zika virus was patented in 1954 by the Rockefeller Foundation? How many people know that Bill and Melinda Gates are on record weaponizing it and releasing mosquitoes that are supposedly meant to eradicate it, that then mutate and spread it? Oh, and of course it attacks your fertility just magically. That's what the Rockefellers and their front people are obsessed with. The Rockefellers who started the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute. And they first secured it in 1947, the original Zika, the weaponized version. The first was in 1954. We've got mainstream news articles on screen for folks if you'd like to read about that. And the reason I mention it is trapped Florida mosquitoes found to contain Zika virus. Despite the fact that they're spraying untold tonnage of very deadly pesticide. But it doesn't matter, because the mainstream media said it was, quote, safe and effective, just like vaccines are, they said. a hatchet upside the head is also safe and effective. Safe, close quote, Zika pesticide nukes millions of bees. John Rappaport, investigative journalist, will be joining us the next hour to break that down and a lot more. And it ties together with the mosquitoes spreading all over that have the Zika. That's okay, though. Pope Francis says you should just pay carbon taxes and carbon indulgences, and then you'll be forgiven the sin of carbon that you exhale, that plants breathe. And don't worry about all the GMO, all the genetic engineering, the chimeras, the abominations, the baby parts being sold. Pontiff, who wants world government. Pope Francis, global warming is a sin, but there's ways to atone. Don't worry your little heads about that. As the national debt hits $19.5 trillion, it's now being announced. And as we look at the economy, August jobs, 151,000. Unemployment rate is unchanged, the feds announce. Biggest gains are in bars and restaurants and other service industries. And, of course, wow, Obama can brag about hundreds of thousands of new jobs since Obamacare went in, because 35 million people, roughly, that's the number I saw months ago, I'm told it's growing, 35 million people had to go get a second or third job because they got cut to part-time, so that employers wouldn't have to pay for Obamacare because they can't afford it. Most businesses out there in this country might have 10% profitability if they're doing decent. How do you suddenly pay for a bunch of health care? You don't. You lay people off or you cut them to part-time. And I've told this story many times when it started hitting 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, Obamacare. I would swim usually almost every day at Barton Springs when it was warm enough to this big natural pool. It's got like 20 lifeguards at any one time. It's so big, one of the biggest natural pools in the world, spring fed. And I noticed a lot of the lifeguards, people were mad at me for like a year or so and kind of make snide remarks. I just ignored it. I don't care. And then they all came up, basically all, and apologized, including the managers. And said, we thought you were lying. We thought Obamacare was free. The city told us we'd be getting free health care. And then as soon as it went in, we all got cut to part-time. And then I had them bring me bottled water and, well, would you like to have lunch with us? We're going to have lunch up at the main. Oh, tell us more about Obamacare and why. And they actually believed they were going to get something free. And the city, Democrat run, lied to them, of course. And that's just a microcosm. People thought I was just up here on air going, there's death panels and it doubles and triples prices and it's written by foreign insurance companies. We could read the bill. We could read the bill. We were able to read the bill. That's it. That's all. That's all that was going on. But they knew the public wasn't going to go read the bill. They could just say, Alex Jones is a liar, Ron Paul's a liar, Senator Paul's a liar, Ted Cruz is a liar. That time he's telling the truth all the time. Sure turned on us, but he was doing a great job. Matt Drudge is a liar. Alex Jones is deeply racist. That's why he doesn't like Obamacare. That's a quote from MSNBC. Just like Gruber said, thank God they're so dumb. Thank God they don't pay attention. Thank God they have no attention spans. And it goes on and on and on. Now, let me get into all the news that's coming up here today. Got a bunch of special reports I want to get into. We have John Rappaport joining us. We have Steve Pachinik on the inner workings inside the government and what the military's current posture is with the globalist coup d'etat that's taking place. Because let me tell you, the military knows foreign multinationals are now conquering this country. Obama claims his authority to launch wars come from the UN and NATO. We've seen all this in Congress, and now they're putting the police under UN control. They're attempting to with strong cities. They're announcing our elections to be overseen by the EU/UN original corporation that founded all that. I say EU, UN, so folks know the group I'm talking about. The OECD, after World War II, reorganized the planet, set the dollar as the world currency. The whole Bretton Woods situation. The CIA was set up basically by the group, and it runs the show. And it's sending observers to, quote, run our election, and they're, quote, federalizing the election. And I have big guests on that are smart people on national TV. And I say to them, like guests yesterday, and yes, the Homeland Security's announced they're federalizing the election, and the guest goes, wait a minute. No, Alex, that's not true. That's not true. Oh, yeah, and the CIA has legalized propaganda in the U.S. And I show the Washington Post, and he was watching it on Skype, the creator of Dilbert, smart guy. And he was like, what? Really? And he was freaking out when the interview ended. He was like shaking his head. But you could see he was typing and looking stuff up and going, what? Because I say that, he starts typing. Oh, yeah, they're federalizing the election. Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. Obama just said a month ago the feds aren't involved in any way, and it's preposterous. That's just that man in Texas, you know. I love the fact they go in different press conferences, it's the man in Texas, or you know who's in Texas, or Texas, the person in Texas. And the press goes, the evil one. Yes, the evil one. I'm not even that smart. You got Obama saying that there's no federal involvement in elections a month ago, responding to me and to Trump. I was pushing him into that trap. I said on air it was a trap. And then, but their arrogance blinds them. And then they step right into it, admitting they're federalizing it. They were already sending all these UN and Interpol people in to run the election before. But see, if I told somebody they were doing it, they wouldn't care. I had to predict they were doing it, so then I would be right. So then everyone would go, ooh, we got the big secret. And I'm not really manipulative. I've just learned to, like, if you just give everybody everything, they don't even care about it. You got to, like, kind of treasure hunt for it.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to
blame.
Well,
Trump has come out with his official deportation plan, and it's what he said it would be over a year ago. He said, if you are a really, really bad person and you've committed crimes, you're going to be deported from this country. Back to your country of origin, like every other country in the world does. They don't even let you in if you're a criminal. And then if you're here illegally but haven't committed other crimes, then there's going to be a process for you to be able to come back into the country and be vetted and already basically have a job waiting that a citizen wouldn't be able to take. And there's plenty of those slots available because the cliche is true. There are a lot of lazy people in this country of every race, color, and creed. The wealth has done that to us. But there are also a lot of criminals pouring in out of the third world. Yes, on average, a lot of folks from the third world, especially Latin America, do want to work hard, do want to have a future, and are actually pro-family and stereotypically hardworking and smart. They've just never been under even a quasi-free system. They've been under colonial systems, even after the colonialism ended, where the elites didn't want wealth in the general public. And people are going, wait a minute, that's all you ever talk about, Alex, is how the elites don't want wealth in the general population and how globalism is this new system of austerity. Yes, in the UN's own words, in the 1996 Biological Diversity Assessment Policy Review and Implementation Papers that I have copies of in my film Road to Tyranny, it says we're going to make people poor permanently so we can then social engineer them and absolutely mold them the way we want. That's called slavery. It's a fancy term for slavery. And they go on to say that the government can only have the guns because civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. UNIDIR, July 7th, 2000. That was in the official treaty version of the small arms ban at that time. The little people owning firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. The actual quote is, civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. What is a power monopoly? A tyranny. A dictatorship. And you go to Latin American countries, almost every country, it is near impossible to get a firearm. You've got to jump through literally hundreds of hoops. Less than 1% of the population in countries like Mexico and other places have guns. That's legal guns. And that's because there's an attitude of only the establishment having the weapons. And finally, it causes the states to fail, like Venezuela, like Mexico. Right now, Venezuela is a zombie war level crisis. I mean, it is hundreds and hundreds of murders every few days, rapes, carnage, burning, zoo animals being eaten, dogs and cats. 6 months ago, were almost disappeared off the streets. There aren't pigeons anymore. It's being reported in cities. People are eating them, killing them with slingshots. And folks, when the ground forage is gone, cannibalism will kick in next. And mark my words, cannibalism will start ensuing in Venezuela soon. In fact, analysts are saying that. Complete breakdown. Total failure. This in a country with fish and food just all over the place. But, they catch you trying to fish even in your own creek. Here comes the little communist. They say, that's mine. Mine. So why should you even catch fish? It is descending into bedlam. What was the second wealthiest country just 50 years ago in Latin America? It was Venezuela. Argentina was richer than the United States on average. Now they are failed hell pits. And this is being done by design. Make no mistake. Economic warfare, a long-term program. When I come back, though, I'm going to get into a report. British Muslim males, 170 times more likely to be part of a sex grooming gang than non-Muslims. Because it's in the Sunni cultures where these guys are the more radical forms of it, but that's what's dominating now. And you add welfare state and European socialism to this form of Islam, it creates a mutated strain of basically gangbanger meets Islam meets pimp. And, I mean, look at the gang signs. Look at the statements. Look at the photos. Look at the music. Look at the videos. There's all this weird Islamic rap now that is the most just drivelish garbage you've ever heard. Because they believe your daughters belong to them in a jihad because their imams say, in characteristic, stereotypical, sounds like we've played the clips like Klingon, and then the translation is, they are weak, they are falling, go to Germany, take their women, they are ours, enslave them for Allah, they are no good, we will rule them. I'm going to get to Gary Johnson first, though. He's a gun grabber. It's worse than I thought. Stay with us. The globalists' great error is to believe that as they collapse humanity, they end up on top. The truth is, humanity is coming down fast, but we're miles above them on our journey to hell. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Coming down fast, but a miles above you. Yes, we are. John Rappaport joins us with massive breaking news and analysis in the second hour. Dr. Steve Pachinik on what's happening inside the government, the military, the police, the public, waking up to the New World Order and the soft coup that took place about 4 years ago inside the United States, where our own military at the top is not following the orders of Obama anymore when they believe it's unconstitutional. And again, that's not sedition. That's not mutiny. That's not insubordination, because we have been hijacked by globalists, and they admit in their own public councils they are eradicating our republic, our checks and balances. So the military is doing its duty, and quite frankly, would do more if the military believed the general public was ready for what needs to be done. And everybody knows who pays attention to this broadcast, we don't sit here with idle words. We don't puff ourselves up. We don't act big. We don't talk about intrigued. Wow, oh, the military is ready to stand up against the New World Order. It's already happened. This country is in an incredible state right now. A lot of bad things are happening. A lot of good things are happening. Now, I want to get into Gary Johnson because I do this all the time. I miss the forest for the trees, and I'll be honest with you, I've not been paying attention to Gary Johnson. And I actually, the last week, did the research, an hour or more a day on him. And I'm going to have to put a special report together that will be the torpedo that destroys him. if you decide to get the information out to people. I'm going to lay out some of it here today in just a moment, but I mean, there's a lot of it, and it's where he's getting his funding, and 100% he is meant to scuttle things and steal votes from Donald J. Trump. And the way the media is giving him massive attention and pushing him out there, he could actually legitimately lose this election for the American people and give it to Hillary. And that is his sniveling job, and he is a just unbelievable Benedict Arnold. And I'm going to explain why in just a moment. But before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, we are listener-supported almost entirely. You hear ads on the network that supports TCN. We have some sponsors as well, but we could not fund this operation with the scores of reporters and crew and editors and researchers and our legal team and customer service and everything else we do without direct selling products to the listeners. And you are the InfoWar. You are the people making it all possible. Thank you for having memberships for the nightly news at PrisonPlanet.tv. Thank you for buying the BioTrue Selenium at InfoWarsLife.com or Vitamin Mineral Fusion, the most powerful, most comprehensive vitamin mineral amino acid concentrate out there. Very tasty as well. Gluten-free, GMO-free, produced right here in the USA. We're selling Hillary shirts at cost right now. Cost is $5 a shirt. Cost is $5 on average for shipping. $9.95 delivered to your door. This has already sent shockwaves throughout the political system. It shows the power of the InfoWar. It helps you meet like-minded people. It's time, folks, to wear this shirt out more often. I personally have been wearing it a lot of times when I go out in the evening or when I take the kids places on the weekends. This is a T-shirt now. I'm not wearing this every few weeks. I'm wearing this every other day. I'm wearing Molon Labe shirts. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm getting more aggressive. So I want to thank you all that have been supporting the broadcast. And I want to encourage all of you that haven't actually got one of these T-shirts to do it, because this is having a huge effect. And we've added a link on there where you can go to another page and pay $19.95 for the Hillary for Prison shirt if you want to support us even more and support yourself even more. And if you have the funds, then please pay full price so we make $10 on the Hillary for Prison 2016 shirt. But again, if you'd rather just buy four or five for yourself or buy one or whatever, at cost, it's $9.95. The main mission is to get it out on the street and have an even bigger effect. Whether it's Molon Labe or Come and Take It, whatever you do, get a shirt today at InfoWarsStore.com. That, again, is the mothership umbrella site for InfoWarsLife.com. The nutraceuticals, the supplements, MadeIn1776.com is the Made in America apparel line of clothing. Some of it, the same price as the shirts we sell that are made in Honduras or wherever. Again, we give people the choice, just like Donald Trump has said. I mean, people would rather buy something that costs $10 less from Honduras, and that's fine, because I don't mind if Hondurans get jobs. They actually are building up, you know, some form of industry. But I actually study where we get things from, and I tell you, stuff from China, their people get almost no benefit from it. We have the entire Made in America line. The majority of our clothing is made in America. It just generally costs $5, $10 more because that's what it costs at InfoWarsStore.com or MadeIn1776.com. I like the Join Us or Die shirt. I think that's one of the best we've got. It's not one of our best sellers, but it's personally my favorite shirt to wear out. You know, I fight Hillary so much that I'll be honest with you. I don't want to wear a Hillary for Prison shirt out. I don't want to when I'm out with friends and family. They'll be, you know, at restaurants with Donald Trump koozies on their iced tea and Donald Trump hats and Donald Trump shirts. And a few people are hissing at us, and, oh, my God, are people going to spit in our food? And you know what? That was 6 months ago, because I already paid my dues. I already fight this all the time. I don't want to be reminded about Hillary Clinton when I'm out, you know, at dinner. But you know what? I realize that I'm proud of my family and proud of my friends, because now they just are constantly wearing Donald Trump apparel, and so am I. When I'm not wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, I'm, you know, wearing a Donald Trump shirt now. My kids are. They love it. They're always... I mean, we just have to get in people's faces at this point. And what I'm saying is I get not wanting to get in people's faces. You've worked 40, 50 hours. you're taking care of business, you just want to go to, you know, the hardware store and get some wood or whatever, or you want to go to the pet store to buy some bird seed, I get it. But you know what? We're going to lose everything if we don't just get even more aggressive. So I'm talking to the listeners out there who've never bought a Hillary for President shirt, or never bought a Molon Labe shirt, or never bought an anti-socialism shirt, or never supported InfoWars. I get it. I'm not saying you're supposed to. But the bare minimum, send out links of our shows, the podcast, videos, articles, information, because nobody is fighting harder for you. And listen, I don't say that like I deserve it. I want it. I want to win. I'm 100% committed. If you think going up against Hillary Clinton is a safe thing to do at this level, jump off a cliff without a parachute and see how you feel. This is the real deal. What you're seeing with InfoWars is a real attack run on the globalist. 20 plus years in the making, and you see it, we're hitting them, we're blowing big bloody holes in their operation, and they are firing back, and they are hopping mad like fire ants. And I'm not complaining. I want this fight. I was born for this fight. I'm blessed for this fight. I get so excited. I stopped breathing on air for something like a minute or two. I catch myself going, I was like, I'm a deep sea diver or something, a skin diver. I am so committed. All I'm saying is God bless you. I appreciate your support. Please support our local affiliates as well. That is just as important as supporting us. Put $100 in the mail. Mail it to them. Become a sponsor. Support their sponsors. Hand out bumper stickers. By the way, I've just decided to do this. We handed out 3,000 Hillary for President bumper stickers that we put free in every order from InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com. It doesn't matter. Or you call by phone, same deal. We put three or four in each. You guys call Weldon Henson over here right now. I want to make sure I can do this right now. These are really glossy, nice bumper stickers. I don't know what the turnaround is on. We only had like 20,000 of them. We've already been giving them out. I want to say, I need to ask the math on this. I want to say I'm going to put, depending on the size of the package, 10 to 100 free bumper stickers in every, that's even more effective than t-shirts, in every package. And then, of course, you know what to do when the country's in an emergency overrun by foreign globalists. Don't dare post these stickers up in public because the locals might claim it's illegal. It's not illegal to have foreign megabanks take you over me, enslaving you. So the French resistance would never just put a sticker up or paint V on a wall. So whatever you do is don't post these and don't post InfoWars.com stickers. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. Post them in legal and lawful areas. I'm joking. I'm having a little bit of fun. The point is that we need to take action. The gloves are off. I'm not saying you need to climb billboards at night and spray paint Hillary for President on the side of them. I'm just saying we're in a lot of deep crap here, okay? And it's time to really pull out all stops, people. We have George Soros and the Ford Foundation now have given $100 million. I was reminded by that of the chairman of the Republican Party outreach program who was here in studio with us yesterday. And I went, oh my gosh, I forgot that 2 days ago. The Ford Foundation, that's who runs the whole show, $100 million to Black Lives Matter. And that is to make sure that the cops pull out of every black area in this country and the crime rate goes through the roof and to turn every city into Chicago. Black Lives Matter cashes in with $100 million from liberal foundations. Whoa, Washington Times. I mean, that is huge, people. And last I checked, they've already been given over $100 million. And I tell people, Soros gave $35 million just in Ferguson to stir stuff up. People go, oh, yeah, right, conspiracy theorist. And I can pull up the Washington Post. They don't care. All right, I'm stopping. quite frankly, police should be getting these bumper stickers from me and sticking them up everywhere. You have got people funding $100 million to basically stir up a movement for destabilization and have the UN take over the police departments. I mean, that's the point we've gotten to here. I'm sorry you're popping in my ear there, Matt. Oh, thank you. Yes, you're right. I have told Matt when I lose track and I'm not covering all the news I'm supposed to stop me. Thank you, Matt. And we do all this preparation for the show and then usually 80% of it goes out the window. And we put an old article about $33 million. It turned out to be $35 million in Ferguson. Let's get into Gary Johnson right now. Gary Johnson is a spoiler. Gary Johnson is a Democratic Party plant and operative who is getting corporate and multinational funding because they know that the Libertarian Party is predominantly paleo-conservative and leans more towards the classical Republican Party and the populist movement that Trump is basically promoting. Trump is basically pushing a form of populist libertarianism. And Gary Johnson, who supports the TPP, that is the most undemocratic, unlibertarian thing in the world, a secret global treaty handing over our sovereignty to multinational corporations. Gary Johnson is now a total corporatist. Gary Johnson, in a lengthy clip that's on Infowars.com, we'll play part of it here because of time constraints, won't even criticize Obama on executive orders in an interview he did with Town Hall, who, by the way, did a great job. I've known Gary Johnson for 10 years, and about 3 years ago, he went from being boring and a little bit creepy when he'd come into the studio to, like, addled, not very well spoken, and I got a really bad vibe from him, and I said, that guy's creepy. I don't ever want him on the show again. I mean, I told them that a few years ago. I said, I don't like Gary Johnson. That guy gives me the creeps. Very few people give me the creeps, okay? Very few. But when you're dealing with someone that has this cold, controlling system, I mean, I'll be honest. I pick up the psychopath vibe. Now, I'm not sociopath. I pick up a psychopath vibe from Gary Johnson. And I was already saying that a few years ago. I go, man, that guy, I'll tell you who else gives me that vibe. Well, I've talked about it before. It's serious. Now, let's get into the meat and potatoes. His running mate wants all firearms that have five rounds or more banned and spews the biggest kook BS I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to read from the article by Kit Daniels yesterday that I want to retweet out right now at Real Alex Jones and post back on Facebook, and I want this to go viral. And I'm going to be filing a special report next week where I go through the funding of Johnson, his background, and who he really is, okay? But this guy is a piece of work, okay? This guy is getting so much media attention and support by the establishment media that worships Hillary, worships him. They ignore the Green Party and demonize her because she'd take from Hillary. I mean, you talk about obvious and sick. And they are pushing so hard to take down Trump right now, and they're giving him so much attention. They might even throw a curveball or something to put him in the debate. This guy didn't even need to be in the debate now because he's not a serious candidate. NRA says Libertarian VP candidate anti-gun. And they've got the quotes. The Libertarian Party is running an anti-gun candidate for vice president. The NRA has warned. It turns out Johnson's becoming anti-gun. As governor of Massachusetts, William Weld supported various gun control schemes, including a ban on semi-automatic firearms, the NRA confirmed. They have links to it. Unfortunately, and despite being a Libertarian candidate for vice president, Weld continues his anti-gun ways. I want to just say this. The Libertarian Party has been hijacked by the globalists and the Democrats, and I've been a Libertarian for 25 years. I have said vote for third parties when you've got two bad establishment candidates. But this is so clear that the insurrection has come through the populist and the Tea Party that Ron Paul started and that we started, that got hijacked. But it doesn't matter. Then it got hijacked back by us and has taken the Republican Party over, and you've got the whole system coming in trying to block this. Now get ready for the big quote. Weld recently confirmed his anti-gun stance and his ignorance on guns in general. Oh, this guy's a total kook. He sounds worse than Walter Mondale. I mean, this guy is a kook. The five-shot, now listen to this boob. The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. What, 1901? This guy's a real kook. Now listen to this bumbling fruitcake. The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. The problem is if you attach a clip to it so it can fire more shells, and if you remove the pin so that it becomes an automatic weapon. No, the pin hits the cap, dumbass, and detonates the powder and shoots the projectile down the tube. Free me from these people. I mean, oh, some rich fop with bodyguards with this little nerd, class president, Judge Schmales, Governor Gary Johnson. He leaves a trail of slime behind him. I was like, get him out of my office. And I never say that. I never want that person around me again. It was horrible. He just, he was like going, he was talking there. Wait a minute, Alex. I was just like, ugh. He was just showing me his true self. That thinks I'm an animal, thinks he's better than me, thinks he's God. No, you're not. Now listen to this. I'm going to skip this break. Listen to this. The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. I'm quoting this guy. This is the VP. The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. The problem is, no, it's not the standard military rifle. The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. The problem is if you attach a clip to it so it can fire more shells, and if you remove the pin so it becomes an automatic weapon. No, you remove the pin to make it worthless. Close quote. I'm going to read this again. It's so epic. The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. The problem is that if you attach a clip to it, it's a magazine, so it can, I just can't read this quote without interrupting. It's such BS. Excuse me. I'm going to try this time. The five-star rifle, that's a basic military rifle. The problem is if you attach a clip to it so it can fire more shells, and if you remove the pin so that it becomes an automatic weapon, Weld said during a Revolt.TV interview in August. Yeah, can we get that clip, please? I'm going to make an ad with this. Vote Gary Johnson for mental illness, brain deadness, disinformation, idiocy, moron behavior. He says it fires shells, too. No, it fires the round, the bullet, the projectile, the sabo, the sabo, whatever it's shooting, the grape, the double-lock buck, the birdshot, whatever it's shooting down the tube is the projectile. And I'm not even a gun expert, but I guess I am compared to these people. Okay? No, the standard military rifle is what, the 5.56? And that converts down. They got the 2.23, and you've got the rounds that the Europeans use, and then I guess you've got the 3.08, and however that converts. I mean, but this guy doesn't even know that. It's that there's a shell that shoots down the barrel. And then it goes on. He goes on to say, and that's, those are independent criminal offenses. So he goes on to say that if you have a rifle that has over five rounds, you're a criminal because it's a military rifle. And that if you remove the pin, you've made it a machine gun, and quote, those are independent criminal offenses. Continuing the quote, that's when they become essentially a weapon of mass destruction. That's how the UN under the treaty wants to ban civilian ownership of firearms, is with that quote. This guy even uses UN terminology. He also attacked AR owners, the NRA revealed. Weld went on to suggest that the interviewer, that both handguns and AR-15s are a problem, stating the problem with handguns is probably even worse than the problem of AR-15s. The latest episode reveals, when pressed on firearms issues, despite any assurances he's given voters, Weld's political instincts are to abandon gun owners and embrace gun control. Weld's partner at LP Ticket, Gary Johnson, also holds numerous anti-libertarian views, including support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, we have a clip I'm going to play here of him being triggered. It's on Infowars.com. Gary Johnson triggered by the word illegal immigrant. Oh my gosh, we're so mean. Mexico calls you an illegal immigrant or illegal alien. That's been the term in customs for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And I went back to it in the Latin. It means alien out of the country. And then it's translated into Spanish. And I went and looked it up. They were using that term in Spanish, you have to translate it, 600 years ago at Spanish ports, was basically translated into English, a natural or an alien. So they're saying it's bad for America to use this term, and it actually comes from Spain. But let's go to Gary Johnson here. Oh my gosh, don't use those words. This guy's like MSNBC has taken over the Libertarian Party. It's like the Communist Youth Brigade's taken over. He wants to hand all our trade, all our jobs, all our rules and regulations over to secret TPP. And he's a sniveling idiot who can hardly talk. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
You have defended President Obama's executive amnesty action, where he basically decided unilaterally that he was going to issue work visas to millions of adult illegal immigrants who are here in the country.
Undocumented, by the way. If you use the term illegal immigrants, that is very incendiary to population here.
Listen to the foppish, arrogant, sycophantic country club, Atlantic, Anglophile pretenses of this guy. I mean, this guy really thinks he hung the moon. He thinks he doesn't need any potpourri in the bathroom when he bombs the Germans. I mean, this guy is a piece of work. Just, no, that's very insane. Hold on. You're not going to use that language that's official Border Patrol language until Obama changed it. And now Interpol and the FBI aren't allowed to say Muslim or Islamicist when there's an attack, because we said so too as well. Did you know we control reality? And now we're saying the word mother and father on college and high school and middle school entrance exams is hurtful because some people don't have mommies and daddies. You're not allowed to have one either. Hold on. I'm Gary Johnson. Okay, now let's all be lectured by Gion. Look how he looks at him like, very, you're in trouble. Like, ooh, I was so smart when I said, that's so incendiary. Here, let me host the rest of the segment like Gary Johnson. Go ahead and roll.
In the country.
Undocumented, by the way. If you use the term illegal immigrants, that is very incendiary to our Hispanic population here in this country.
Why is that?
It just is. Just so that you know.
I don't defend what I'm saying. It just is. Okay, Obamacare is free, all right? Nobody wants your guns. I mean, come on, please. I'm sorry, let me get back in, because that's really... let's do the real Gary Johnson. I knew more than anybody. I'm a little gremlin screwing everyone, feeding on the dumb population. Psychopath. Here, let's go back to his little act. Let me act. Please continue with Gary Johnson.
You know. Just so that you know, and you don't have to use that term.
But isn't the term accurate in the sense that they entered the country, they immigrated to the country illegally, so they are...
came into this country because they couldn't get in legally, and the jobs existed.
See, the reason he's triggered is, that's the real Gary Johnson. I'm telling you, when he was here, during the breaks, I'd be sitting there taking a drink, I'd see him, and he'd be sitting in a smaller studio, very intimate, like 5 feet away going... And I'd be, oh, so how's it going? Yeah, it's fine. How's your family? And I was like, whoa. I've been around this guy, I don't know, 10, 15 times before, and he had like this little thing. Oh, hang. But when he left with his son, the last time he was here, that runs his campaign, he was just like, here, let's watch the triggering right now. The real Gary Johnson, like the alien bursting out of the chest, has come out. Here it is.
They came into this country because they couldn't get in legally. And the jobs existed. And you or I would have done the same thing. And we're talking about now coming from New Mexico, a population of 48%
Hispanic. Hit pause. He cares about Hispanics. Yes, that's why the mega banks won't open borders in TPP. They don't want a permanent underclass to exploit. They haven't helped the globalists keep Mexico down. No, he cares about Hispanics. He cares. By the way, my VP wants to ban all the guns and put you in prison. I don't mind Obama's executive orders. Totally triggered. You got to see the real moray eel right there.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we've got Weldon Henson that runs the InfoWars warehouse and shipping operations. I asked him to come over here earlier if he just joined us, because I had an idea forming in my head that we could put a whole bunch of free bumper stickers in every order. We're already putting a couple in each order, but you explained to me, no, that'll up people's shipping cost. So it's not really stickers at cost if we do that, or free stickers. So you had another idea. You said we could sell them at cost, but we're about to sell out of them anyways. Well, the free ones we're putting in, we're about to be running out, so it'll be a couple weeks till we get them. We're 66 days out from the election, Weldon. I need to go with other distributors, other suppliers. I need to get 5 million dollar for prison stickers here in the next couple of weeks. And we even have to use a third-party shipper. That's fine, but I want to figure out what the real cost is, and I want to sell these at cost because I want to information warfare bomb all 50 states with these, but especially the battleground states. I want to create a map of the battleground states, and I want to call it Operation Hillary for Prison 2016.
I think that's great. We'll get a man, get him out to everybody. Everybody put him up everywhere.
We need target maximum firepower.
I agree. I think this is awesome.
What do you think of Gary Johnson? You heard my rant about him. I mean, listen, I don't usually let in people like this, but it was always something about Gary Johnson. And I mean, I've had him in studio many times, interviewed him many times, and I just saw this evolution. I always thought he was fake and really boring and dry, but now I've really seen a nastiness behind the scenes. And I'm telling you, he's as fake as a $3 bill. His VP wants to just basically ban five rounds and up, put gun owners in prison. He says the pin. He says you remove the pin to turn guns into a machine gun.
Oh, no, there's a lot more than that. Gary Johnson, he's always kind of struck me as a snake in the grass. I don't really ever thought he had much charisma, which is not good for a leader. And you see people all around Austin, you know, we're a libertarian city here, and they're all about Gary
Johnson. They are smelling the glue. They are huffing Gary Johnson.
And it's already happening. A lot of people are like, oh, we hate Trump. You know, he's not, you know, we want to go with a real libertarian. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, we are in trouble.
He is an admitted spoiler, and we're going to come out with videos next week showing where he's getting his funding. But look at mainstream media worshiping him. I mean, what does that tell you, people? The mainstream media works for the establishment.
Once they're working for them, I mean, you can tell it's all just a big, big plot. I mean, it's just...
How do people not know when they pull out all the stops against Trump, he doesn't get any big corporate money, the whole planet's demonizing him, the communist Chinese leaders, the evil Saudi leaders, the evil Pope... evil hates him. And then you guys claim you're anti-establishment. You're going to go with Gary Johnson, that they act like the gibbering, stuttering moron is God when he comes on there and acts like he's a country club manager.
No, absolutely. I mean, all of a sudden, Gary Johnson's cool. I guess that started recently whenever the establishment thinks that he can take away votes from Trump. Now, obviously, Gary Johnson's cool in the mainstream media.
Gary Johnson.
What does that say to you?
Gary Johnson, they hope, is the weapon that takes down Trump and destroys America. I mean, Gary Johnson is an anti-American weapon system. I mean, he is. That's Gary Johnson is. And that's why I'm so hateful. Because, I mean, this is the death of my country, my children's future. This is a little snickering, white shoe boy, know-it-all, snot-nosed, country club, blue blood, interloping piece of filth.
It's like activate the Gary Johnson effect right now, I guess. They're using it as another bullet in the chamber of the establishment.
He's triggering me right now. Let me tell you, he was in there for an hour last time he was here a couple years ago, and he was literally just going, and I was like, hey, I was going, wow. And I was like, so what's going on here? And he would just go, yeah. And that's what he does in that clip.
Yeah. I know. I agree. When he was here, I did not get a good feeling from him. There's, just put it that way. I'm pretty good at reading people by just talking to him or seeing him for a little bit, and it did not come off.
Have you ever seen anybody creeping around more like him?
He was sneaky. He was a sneaky, sneaky dude, that's for sure.
Us Texans don't like little sneakies. And he's like, I'm from New Mexico. I'm a sidebuster. Where is that guy from anyways?
I don't even know. I don't know.
Well, let me just give everybody this little directive around here. I don't usually tell people what I want to report on, but everybody needs to be looking into Gary Johnson.
I agree.
We need to have a magnifying glass.
I mean, the fact that they're just rolling him out all of a sudden as some kind of like... actual player. I mean, it ought to wake up a lot of people that they're really coming after Trump. I mean, first off, everybody's attacking Trump. I mean, even if you don't agree with a lot of things Trump says, I mean, just the way you can see people at the Trump rally.
The establishment is crapping their pants because Trump is a patriot. We'll be back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I love getting John Rappaport on. Usually it's every few months. Time just flies. So I said last week, let's get him on for a full hour. And he's here with us to basically co-host, ride shotgun, and give us analysis and comment on the news, including an article he wrote for nomorefakenews.com that's up on infowars.com, dealing with the fact that, those unknown tonnage of poison they're spraying all over Florida and other areas are killing the honeybees. That's up on infowars.com right now. I'm not going to get into his whole background as an investigative journalist, working with some of the biggest newspapers and TV stations, radio stations, you name it, in the country. And his independent research. He's also a best-selling author dealing with philosophy and also an art critic and many other things. NoMoreFakeNews.com. Before I go to him, I want to just set the table because some stations join us in this hour. We're going to be looking some at Trump and his proposals on the deportation force and how the media is responding to that. We're also going to be looking at former senator inquiry over Saudi involvement in 9/11 is not over. We're also going to be looking at report British Muslim males 170 times more likely to be part of sex grooming gang than non-Muslim, but the police have been ordered to cover that fact up. We've got jobs numbers that are cooked, but still show they're stagnant, so that means they're actually negative. What does that portend? And what does John Rappaport think the article, in fact, will you guys reprint it for me, at Infowars.com last week, that linked to German newspapers, major papers, saying the government says get ready for some giant emergency, get prepared. And then Germans scooped all the food off the shelves. And then you've got talk of the big German banks going belly up bigger than Lehman Brothers. I mean, that's major German newspapers. Just like, you know, we have the BBC with the headline, head of Royal Bank of Scotland, sell everything you've got, get rid of everything. You know, worst collapse ever coming. And then they'll have some news article put out by Media Matters, run by the White House, saying Jones claims that Scotland's going to collapse. I mean, that's what they do, folks. They misrepresent. We're not the ones saying this. I hope this doesn't happen. But it's getting frantic. It's getting crazy. It's getting wild. And meanwhile, if you just joined us, I'm going to play more of the clip this hour. Gary Johnson. I talked to the crew. Many of them have been here a long time. They've seen Gary Johnson repeatedly in the green room and up close. Former governor of New Mexico, running as a Libertarian candidate, who has a VP who is as anti-gun as Dianne Feinstein, or Barbara Boxer, or Michael Moore. I mean, he says ban everything that is five shots and more. That we have the Weld clip we're going to play here in a moment. And then when Johnson was here, I'd interviewed him in person many, many times. There was always something weird about him, like he wasn't there. When you talk to sociopaths or maybe even psychopaths. But I thought, oh, he's just a quiet guy. But then the last time he was here, the crew described him. They don't want to go on air because they're scared of him.
I'll go ahead and talk about it.
You'll talk about it?
Yeah.
I mean, he was looking at me like he wanted to kill me. I mean, he was just going, during the break, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, and then when he left, he was all like a villain in a movie. Like, I mean, I've never seen a guest act like that. But then when he's on air, he's all, I'm a nice little guy. I am Gary Johnson. So go ahead, CJ. I'm not bullying you into talking about it, but your description of him.
Well, I don't want to attack his character, but when he was on air, he was completely different than when he was off. It's like a switch flipped or something. He had a blank stare in his eyes when you would talk to him. When he walked around the office, he kind of looked up at the ceiling tiles, and when he left, they kind of dashed to the car and got the heck out of here, like they were very uncomfortable.
And I was in a little studio at that time. We hadn't started using this one. It was like 2.5 years ago. And I'm not exaggerating, folks. What you see in his triggering, it was even more. But he would sit there, and I thought, is his tooth hurting? Is that a tick? But he was trying to intimidate me, which was a joke. And he was just like going... It was just like, and he was on air for like a whole hour, wasn't he?
I think so, maybe like an hour and a half.
Yeah, because they wanted to come here, and they just wanted to sit there in the chair, like, I don't know what's going on with this guy, but it's freakish. In fact, I want to play the Governor Well clip, but I want to get to our guest. Let's play the Gary Johnson being triggered first when he's instructing the town hall reporter that you're not allowed to use the term illegal alien. And again, this is a little bit of what I was getting during the breaks, but he wasn't talking. He was sitting there showing his teeth and like looking at me with one eye and wiggling around. It was almost like Emperor Palpatine when he's angry in episode 3 of Star Wars. It was kind of like wiggling and snaking. That was it. He was snaking around the office. I've never seen anyone walk around like they're a bipedal snake. So let's go to Snake Man right now.
Because they couldn't get in legally. And the jobs existed. And you or I would have done the same thing. And we're talking about now, coming from New Mexico, a population with 48% Hispanic, how's the crackdown on 11 million undocumented workers going to work?
Back it up to the beginning. That's once he's already mad. That's nothing. It's how he goes from looking completely normal and friendly. I'm going, no, no, I tell you how the world works. Then he snaps. And it's just a small little, because, I mean, we all snap. I get angry. The point is I'm not a psychologist. So I'm not literally saying he's a psychopath or a sociopath. All I'm saying is the guy's really creepy. He wants to put us under the TPP. He's now become anti-gun. His VP guy's totally anti-gun. Let's play the clip from the beginning.
You have defended President Obama's executive amnesty action, where he basically decided unilaterally that he was going to issue work visas to millions of adult illegal immigrants who are here in the country.
Undocumented, by the way. If you use the term illegal immigrants, that is very incendiary to our Hispanic population here in this country.
Why is that?
It just is. It just is. Just so that you know. Just so that you know, and you don't have to use that term.
But isn't the term accurate in the sense that they entered the country, they immigrated to the country illegally, so they are...
They came into this country because they couldn't get in legally, and the jobs existed. And you or I would have done the same thing. And we're talking about now,
all right, let's stop
coming
right
from
there.
New Mexico.
Let's stop right there. I mean, the point is that, no, they came here because they can get a bunch of free welfare and have their kids paid for and everything else at everybody else's expense, and then they undercut everybody else's pay, including their own, by bringing in a permanent underclass. I don't want to exploit anybody. And them acting like they're on this high horse and these angels is disgusting. I want to tackle this first. What you think of Gary Johnson? I mean, obviously, the mainstream media is pushing him as a messiah against Trump, so you know he's bad. The establishment is doing it. And then get into everything else that's happening, the economy, the world, where you see all this going. John Rappaport, investigative journalist with NoMoreFakeNews.com. Thank you for coming on with us today.
Hi, Alex. Let's all vote for Hillary Johnson. She is going to divorce Bill and marry Gary. And let's have a big celebration because they are apparently as sleazy, slimy, and slippery as each other. And it's a good fit, I think. Hillary Johnson for president. I mean, they brought this guy in as an agent, basically. You know, I'm a libertarian. No, you're an agent. That's what you are. You're there to disrupt the vote, to take some votes away from Trump, as many as you possibly can, while pretending you're a libertarian who, by the way, wants to ratify the biggest globalist takedown ever in the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. Where that comes off as being libertarian is, beyond anybody's recollection or intelligence, because it's totally counter. So the Libertarian Party is out. I mean, they're gone. Why don't they just put up a sign that says, who's going to pay us the most money? We'll run the candidate that'll take the votes away from the other guy. I mean, that's libertarianism now. That's, to me, the definition of the Libertarian Party. We're for sale. Who's got the highest offer? We'll say anything. We'll put any candidate up. It doesn't matter what he used to say. This is what he's going to say now. And that's the way the whole thing's going to work.
Beautifully said. They demonize Trump for coming up with good slogans to describe someone's character. Crooked Hillary, lying Ted. What do we say about Gary Johnson? Hillary's husband, Gary Johnson, or Hillary's running mate, Gary Johnson? I mean, how do we describe him?
Hillary's husband. I love it. I think that's a good one.
Well, you coined it. I mean, you coined it, John Rappaport.
Okay. Well, can I sell it? Do we got posters, stickers, whatever?
I mean, I was thinking Snake Man Gary Johnson. I was thinking, election spoiler Gary Johnson. I was thinking Democratic Party, Savior Gary Johnson. I mean, I'm not thinking of as good of terms as you have. I mean, how do you really describe him? Slimy Gary Johnson, anti-gun Gary Johnson. I guess it's really Hillary's husband Gary Johnson.
Hillary's husband, Gary Johnson. I mean, there it is, as far as I'm concerned. She wore Bill out. You know, he's gone. He's just a Hulk. She's getting there herself. But in the meantime, she could use a little bit of an infusion of energy from somewhere. So let's marry off Hillary to Gary. Hillary and Gary. Hillary Johnson.
It really is transparent, though. How can the libertarians support the secret TPP that basically they now admit takes everything over? It's the world government final mega treaty. And you've got him then bringing an anti-gunner who says arrest people that have guns that hold over 5 rounds nationwide, make them all criminals. I mean, how in the world are libertarians putting up with this?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, who are they even now? They come together, what is it, every 4 years, and they pick a new guy to run, and then they go away. They don't have any status or standing that they've established on their own. It seems like they're just basically raising money off the word libertarian. You know, if they didn't have that in their title, if they call themselves, I don't know, the Gary Johnson Party or just the four-year party, every 4 years we nominate somebody, nothing would ever happen. I mean, they're just poaching on the word libertarian, which has a history. It does mean something. Ron Paul was over there, you know, on that side of things. But now it's just, we're for sale. Who's got some money? We'll offer you a candidate that'll say what you want him to say. And I agree with you completely. This guy, he reminds me, Johnson, a little bit of a snapping turtle, you know. When I was a kid, a snapping turtle came into our backyard. And I was warned, and I looked at this thing. It was pretty big, and it wasn't moving, and I thought, what harm could that be? You know, just let me walk up to it and look at it. And I kind of put my finger near where I thought his head would be, and all of a sudden, pow, he was a snapping turtle, man. And that's the way he turned in that interview all of a sudden. Well, don't use that term and so forth. And then bang, you know, he suddenly attacks the interviewer.
And again, I get mad interviews too, but it was the instantaneousness. It was how he had this fake friendly demeanor and then instantly, like a moray eel or a snapping turtle, shoots out of the hole. And I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. The creepiness in that studio a few years ago, and I interviewed the guy a lot, when he was sitting there, at first, I thought like something was wrong with his face, or he was having a seizure, because he was like really looking at me like he wanted to kill me. And I was like, and he wouldn't talk to me during the breaks hardly. And then after a couple of breaks, I thought, this guy is really hating on me, but then getting on air and acting all nice. And, and I remember asking the crew, why did he even come here? He was acting really weird. You're a smart guy into psychology. I mean, that's what you write about. What do you think that sounds like, what you just heard myself and CJ describe? Because believe me, that's what he was doing.
I've seen a lot of people who have this, you know, they used to call them yuppies 10, 15 years ago, a sense of tremendous entitlement, education, scholarship, learning, and all of this. And they talk and they smile and they kind of come off like sort of wimpoids, you know, and they know what's best and everything.
They love listening to themselves talk.
They love listening to themselves talk, and they feel, you know, white shoe, as you said, very entitled. But of course, I'm for the masses and everybody, and I love everybody and all this bullshit, basically. But then, if you puncture that, suddenly now comes the real person, right, who's totally unhinged, snapping turtle, who can't stand, you know, to be around anybody that disagrees with them or challenges their viewpoint or even asks them a pointed question like this guy did in the interview. No, that's not allowable. Suddenly, you know, they go crazy.
And that's right. They can't even debate. And now I realize that's why he was getting so mad. I was just nicely debating with him, and he was getting madder and madder.
Yeah, they can't enter into one of those conversations at all because they have to be, you know, on top. That's basically, it's kind of like a fascist in a great picture there, a fascist in sheep's clothing, right? And they're very nice and they kind of come off as humble. And, you know, the whole thing, I'm sure that you could get Gary to talk for hours and hours about his phony ideas on white privilege and how, you know, he's doing penance and repentance for this and that, and everybody else should, and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, yeah, there's a good resemblance between this turtle, snapping turtle, and Gary. The nose, the mouth, boy, he's ready to, here he comes, you know. It's that schizoid thing, you know, where he's going to be wonderful to everybody about everything until there's a danger that, you know, he might be exposed for something that he's saying and that it's wrong and that you're going to drill down a little bit deeper and it's going to get wronger and wronger and wronger. And then all of a sudden he's going to totally snap at you.
And that's what happens. This is a longer interview the town hall did a great job with. He never debates anything. He just goes, no, no, no. Well, what about the executive orders of Obama? What about how we're being run by foreign treaties? I'm not discussing it. I'm an intellectual. I mean, I guess exactly. Really he's an empty suit is what it comes down to.
I think so. And you find that with college professors, for example. You know, when you actually start to engage them on a point that they can't really defend, and they've got their whole mask set up so that this is the way they're going to feed you their spiel and so forth, and now you puncture that, college professors can become instant snapping turtles. You go outside their box where they've got everything figured out and defined. I mean, this is, again, entitlement. It's a position. I've got my position. I won my position. I earned my position.
And like you said last week, part and parcel of totalitarianism, whether it be fascism, communism, whatever it is, a cult, is that it's all rigid top-down systems where everything's got to be finite and basically frozen in time. That's what these people are looking to build. That's why they hate the Renaissance system.
Absolutely. Yeah. Open, freedom, creativity, imagination, new ideas, new frontiers. Let's have solutions instead of insanity. Let's have real solutions. Let's lift people up instead of making them permanently dependent upon whoever the leadership is, the government, and so forth and so on. These kinds of ideas. Hey, I've got an idea, Professor. You know, you're talking about how sympathy for the people who are downtrodden and so forth and so on. Do you know that in Chicago, there's a group of people who are operating inside a huge building and they have an urban farm there? And people from the inner cities are growing food, fantastic amounts of food, and they're learning how to grow food, and the kids are there and they're trading food, and this is like a renaissance of nutrition. And if the government wanted to, the federal government, they could suddenly show up and say, you know what, this is a fantastic idea. Instead of spending $2 trillion on the war on poverty and failing completely, let's spend a few million dollars and let's put, how about 4,000 of these urban farms in inner cities across America?
No, instead, as you know, I've had the guy on that did it. In L.A., when he started planning stuff in the mediums, they came to try to stop him. But he fought back, and it backfired. But exactly, we need to bring urban farming back. We have a special coming out next week with Tim Kennedy about urban farms. And this is exactly getting back to normal agrarian activity is the beginning of relaunching humanity. And that's why they're trying to harass the Amish, these city farms. They're going after true independence for a reason.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, here's perfect community organizing. You know, six people get together and say, we're going to start an urban farm, and everybody can come in on board, and we'll trade food that we grow. And kids will be running around, squeezing the cantaloupes and the squashes and whatever, and they'll learn how to plant food, and everybody will be happy, and they'll be eating nutritious food and so on and so forth. I mean, you would expect a federal government that had any kind of sense, that actually wanted solutions to poverty, would put that at the top of the list, right? So you bring up something like this to a guy who is entitled, white shoe, yuppified, trying to be distinguished and so forth and so on. And all of a sudden, it's outside his box. It's an actual solution. You say, well, instead of writing all this bullshit about how the people who are in poverty are doomed unless we revolutionize our minds about privilege and all, how about we just actually help people to lift themselves up? What an idea. Oh, no. Now they turn into a snapping turtle because they feel threatened because...
Exactly. They want those inner city kids in there 12 hours a day watching TV, the other hours of the day, at school under government brainwashing. And notice every city that's Democratic Party run is the most horrible cesspit you can imagine. And they know it's a system they're running that they now want to deploy nationwide, worldwide. We're about to go to break, but I've got a lot of issues I want to raise, a lot of clips I want to play, a lot of things I want to go over with you, John Rappaport. But what else do you want to be covering today? Give us a preview.
Well, we can certainly talk about this pesticide spraying in South Carolina that killed millions of bees in what sounded like one day. I mean, this is like a chemical warfare against South Carolina, you know, the Zika pesticide. So we can touch on that.
But they said it was safe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No problem. You know, yeah, maybe a little bit of a health problem. All of a sudden, the colonies are gone, the bees are gone. And what about the people and the animals? Oh, no problem. No problem. Just let's move on.
Well, I mean, even the London Guardian says radiation is no longer really bad for you. I mean, you saw those articles by Mombiot and others. They said we should, you know, radiation's good, John.
Okay, well, let's move next to some nuclear reactors. Let's all move to Fukushima then, right? I'm sure the apartment, the condos there are pretty cheap now. at Fukushima.
What we see happening is the insanity of the elite. Those that the gods would destroy, they first make mad. And we're just here, watchmen on the wall, Paul Revere's, self-interested. I mean, I don't want to live in a collapsed society. And we see what's happening in Europe, in Germany. We're getting into that. We're getting into the economy. We're going to cover what's happening with the bees. Straight ahead with John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com. And I've been pretty darn nasty to Gary Johnson. I held my tongue, haven't had him on in years because the guy gave me the willies. And now he's an anti-gun, pro-globalist little creature working for Hillary.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
We're going right back to John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. Steve Buscemi joins us in the next hour for like 30 minutes, and then I'm going to take phone calls the last 30 minutes into the fourth hour. I may even host some of that today. We've got a lot to cover. Anthony Gucciardi is going to be hosting, co-hosting with me. In the fourth hour today, I'm going to go ahead and do most of the fourth hour. I made that decision because the crew does so much work with all these clips and all this research and all this incredible stuff I haven't even gotten to yet. I must cover it all. But I want to be clear with everybody out there watching. I don't look at the news and try to come in here and exaggerate what's going on. My head now, more than ever, spins when I do research. And it's so much crazier than I can describe to people. And they've had the White House run Media Matters and others make a big deal out of me saying on air, I've studied this for 25 years. I don't know about spiritual forces in the universe. I've studied physics. I've studied what the elite believe. Billions of Christians believe that the devil is an outside force fallen on this planet, manipulating humanity to kill, steal, and destroy, and basically attack God's creation. And then I look at the world and what the elite are doing. They'll go out of their way to hurt the planet while they claim they're the guardians of it. They are trying to play God. Ray Kurzweil says he's going to merge with machines and become God. Almost every major billionaire out there goes to these private consortium meetings, and they discuss how to bring in world government, exterminate the majority of us. Bill Joy writes cover articles about it, admitting it. And then the White House puts out a thing saying Jones is crazy and says space aliens run the planet. No, what I said is that what you read in the Bible and what the Bible says the devil wants to do to us is basically what I see going on. So whether you're a Christian or whether even an atheist, you look at what's going on, they're creating aliens on this planet. Then they cut right there and they put it in the New York Times and they say the guy that Donald Trump calls brilliant, says, it looks like space aliens run things. No, that was a complex discussion I had. I said, I don't know that. I haven't seen that. The globalists act like aliens. Psychopaths believe they're their own species. The elite in big college papers and books say they're going to break away and be their own gods. I just quoted Ray Kurzweil. I can quote all these people to you. So whether it is the devil, whatever it is, the elite are basically manifesting this. When they splice humans with animals, when they do all these horrible things, when they create all these GMO hybrids and release them out in the open air from microscopic up to humanoids, it's extremely dangerous. Then, do these creatures have rights? They're in this gray area. Animals have rights. Humans have rights. These are the big discussions. And then the White House organs make a joke about it so we can't have a debate as all this technology races. Just like I told you, the NSA 20 years ago was listening to keywords and putting it in dossiers, and the DEA was doing parallel construction, setting people up with fake court cases. I had whistleblowers on at the time who were just as important as Snowden. But back then, they didn't arrest whistleblowers, so it never even got coverage. The internet wasn't big enough then. So what I'm getting at here is, I told you all about the New World Order, all about their global plan, all about their carbon taxes, how they would set it up, how they would roll it out, how they'd use huge immigrant waves and collapsing third world to then make the West fall as well. I broke it all down. I showed you the university papers. I broke down Cloward and Piven. you know, as an audience, this is real. You gave me a lot of information as well. Now they've constructed this thing, and I really see it in the news. I see it on the street. In the last few weeks, they have intensified their operations 20 times. I believe the New World Order started September 1st. That's a date I'm putting on it. They like to launch things September 1st, and just the whole atmosphere has changed. All the intensification of evil, the intensification of mind war, the intensification of the brainwashing has all just crescendoed like a huge finale of an orchestra at the end of a play. And right when you thought it couldn't get louder, it went way up above that. Now I'm going to ask this gentleman, because he's a really smart fellow and he studied this in depth, and he can probably bring some clarity to this. Disagree if you disagree, John, I know you will, or agree, and then break down, before we get into what's happening to the earth itself and the bees, why this is happening and what you would say about this point we've reached in the universe, and why the elite universally are building something that's anti-human and so ugly. I mean, there is a spirit to it. There is a energy to it. I don't know where it's coming from. I mean, let's just say, theoretically, I don't know. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm raised that way. I love goodness. I love God. But let's just, for the sake of debate, what is it? And then we're on this planet out here in the universe floating around, hurtling through space at 40,000 miles an hour, and then people make a joke when we talk about evil in the world, and where does it come from? Every culture has marveled, why do some of us do these bad things? Why do elites organize together, build pyramids, and start chopping virgins' hearts out? I mean, what's going on? Because 99% of us, John, don't want to do that.
Absolutely. Well, here's one of the things anyway. Look at what's happening. Anybody who says now that a nation has any right whatsoever to be sovereign in any sense of the word, independent, self-sufficient, ooh, God forbid that, or an individual, that's what it really comes down to. Independent, makes up his own mind, sees things the way he sees it, makes decisions, responsible for his own life in every way possible. This is the cardinal sin. This is what has to be attacked. Because the globalist plan, obviously, is to make one giant unified cheese glob of the entire planet that is run from above by them. That's the theme. That's what they've been shooting for and aiming for all along. We're all together in this, and it's all one. It takes a village, and, you know, all of this kind of insane, supposedly humanitarian propaganda is a complete front for evil. That's the way the game is played. It's been played that way probably since the beginning of time. But now there's technology, and now there's media, and now there's, you know, propaganda and so forth. So they are perceiving the globalists, the controllers, the evil ones, a bigger threat than ever, because they can see around them that there is a movement in the other direction. People are saying, wait a minute, are you saying that, I don't know, I was raised in France, and so if I consider myself French, I'm committing some kind of a thought crime now? That I have to be European with everything that that implies? That your implications?
And then you merge with Islam. Now you have to merge with that. They're stealing our identities and then replacing it with death.
Yeah, with death, exactly. Bow down. Don't say anything. Forgive everything. Be humble and die. I mean, that seems to be the motto of globalism. And we're sitting, we the globalists are sitting in the steamroller, and we're coming down the street.
They're saying, it's our planet, we took it over, we're about to merge with machines and become gods, get ready, we're going to kill you. And then they come out in publications every day now. We talk about this 20 years ago, John, no one would talk about it. And, oh, we're kooks. We were reading their own white papers. Now it's all over the news. The Earth's going to be so great once humans are gone, and elites, you know, are going to merge with machines and become gods, but only after they kill you. And you're like, whoa, they're in the news saying this, but it's like, it's in New Scientist, and it's on CNN. Like, it's fun. Like, wow, you've got to admit it would be better without us on Earth.
Right. Let's all commit collective suicide as our final act of contrition and penance and so forth. And I've been following this whole, you know, technocratic thing for a long time as well. the whole idea, like Ray Kurzweil and the
I know you have. That's why I've got you. I mean, that's why I raise it. Go ahead.
And the techies, the rise of the techies, the idea that they suddenly got into their heads that information itself is some kind of spiritual quality. And if we can just supply people with the right answers through, shaping information and the right algorithms, then everything's going to be peaceful and fine on Earth. And the way to do that is to hook up the human brain to a massive supercomputer that's floating somewhere in space. I mean, they take this as obvious, you know, and if you start to raise questions, wait a minute. You're saying that my brain can be connected to a computer, and what is this computer going to give me again? Answers to questions? I mean, how is that different from the priest class that rules Egypt or Stalin or somebody else who's giving the answers? Even if they're supposedly the right answers, they're not my answers. I didn't come to those conclusions. I'm now going to be at the mercy of a computer? And then they say, well, yes, but it's not only that. You see, maybe you want to play the piano. We can download that into your mind, too. Or you want to hit 60 home runs a year in pro baseball. We can do that for you. Or you want to leap tall buildings in a single bound. No problem, because the computer can give that to you. And people just sit there and go, boy, this sounds like a really great future. Are you kidding? I mean, can you think about this and how ridiculous? I mean, aside from being a total fascist setup, can you even start to think about how ridiculous that sounds? How is a computer going to do that for anybody? It's not. It's just another way to make slaves.
And we also have the UN pushing the Zeitgeist movement. That guy comes on my show and says, you'll be put in a re-education camp if you don't submit. Then he comes out and says, I'm a liar. It didn't happen. When I have the clip. And then the UN and the New York Times start funding it, saying, yes, a computer will decide what you eat, where you live, what you do. Well, that's always been their model of technocracy. And then people say, oh, we'll be free. No, the globalist will program the computer. I mean, it's so obvious. And then people say, why are you attacking the freedom of Zeitgeist? We won't have to work anymore. I mean, that's like telling me Obamacare was going to be free, John.
Right. We won't have to work anymore and we'll be free. And as you and I have discussed before, Alex, many people seem to have lost their capacity to even understand what the word freedom means. So you can now, as a propagandist, substitute anything you want to for the word freedom.
A computer making you a total slave and taking all your decisions away and running your life is freedom because it's fair.
Yeah. That's right. Suddenly, fair becomes free. Wait a minute. How did that happen?
And then who defines fair? And it's this word game.
Who defines fair? Who defines fair? Exactly. It's that word game. Freedom is unlimited burgers at McDonald's. Is that what that means? In other words, if somebody says to me, you can eat free for the rest of your life, that's the same thing as me being free, having freedom.
And then you find out it's Monsanto and Bill Gates, and what they're feeding you is going to kill you.
Yeah, right. That's the punchline, right? Yeah, you're free to have all the goodies you want, and they will kill you. So now everything's good. So people don't even understand what the word means anymore. So if you say the word freedom...
Well, now they say, I have a right not to be offended, and so there's only small free speech zones on the colleges now, and they're only open a few hours a day, a few days a week. So see, you're in a free country in this little free zone that we license, that we can close. But the definition of a license is the authorization to do something that would otherwise be illegal, or a letter of mark given to you by the royalty.
Exactly. At Harvard Law School, which I wrote about this week again, you know, there were people, these are supposed to be the best and the brightest college graduates, and they go on to the most prestigious law school in the country, Harvard. And what happened there? Students said that they didn't want to hear the word rape or violate, meaning does this conduct violate the law? Because either word could trigger them. These were like the most elite law students in the country talking to their professors.
Learning how to be basket cases.
Learning how to create yourself over in the image of a basket case, exactly. How do I become a victim? And these students were saying, well, rape law shouldn't even be taught in law school because it would be traumatizing and it would reduce the overall performance of the students. So now there's not even any pretense that there's education going on. You know, it's not even, yes, we are. No, it's all about this propaganda campaign to encourage and nudge students over into thinking of themselves not just as victims, but endless victims.
And like, the only power they have is to go bully someone into doing what they say. I mean, it's like major universities have done things like Lynch Hall, named after a liberal patron that built the hall 50-something years ago. But the attorney general agreed with it and said, yes, you need to change the name. It's hurtful because of lynching. And then her name is Loretta Lynch. I mean, there's no, it's like people screaming at you going, you're an effing white male and they're a white male. I want to play this clip since you mentioned the technocracy. It's a good one, I know. Tom Scott's got a great YouTube channel breaking this down. The virtual hell of uploading yourself into a machine and then they zap the bad memories. That means your true memories and consciousness. And then this is what the military is looking at now, zapping. That's a lobotomy, folks, but high-tech lobotomies for the troops. Here it is.
Welcome to life. We regret to inform you that your previous existence ended on January the 14th, 2052, following a road traffic accident. However, your consciousness was successfully uploaded to the Life Network by your primary care provider. You may be experiencing some confusion. Please remain calm. Life contains... Your mental state is being temporarily adjusted in order to calm you. Please remain calm. Life contains over 30,000 unique activities, networking with millions of other digitized minds, and the ability to contact undigitized friends and family. Please accept these terms and conditions in order to continue life. Your attention is particularly drawn to Section 2, Usage Rules and Limitations, Section 9, Privacy, and Section 11, Restricted Mental Activities. Thank you. Please select a life plan. Tier 1 is our premium offering, allowing full, uninterrupted simulation of your pre-terminal state. It includes unlimited modification of your body plan, accelerated learning and recall, and full personal backup facilities. Tier 2 is our advertiser-supported offering. It contains many of the features of Tier 1, but at a significantly reduced cost. Some areas of the environment, such as the sky, may be replaced with targeted advertising, and your personal brand preferences may be altered to align with those of our sponsors. Tier 3 is our value offering. Thanks to our commercial partners, your experience at this tier is unlimited. However, some activity sensors and visual rendering options may be subject to a fair use policy. More complicated mental processes, including subconscious thought, creativity, and self-awareness, may be rate limited or disabled at times of significant server load. Thank you. Your stored mind contains one or more patents that contravene the Prevention of Crime and Terrorism Act of 2050. Please stand by while we adjust these patents. Your stored mind contains sections from 124,564 copyrighted works. In order to continue remembering these copyrighted works, a licensing fee of $18,000 per month is required. Would you like to continue remembering these works? Thank you. Please stand by. Welcome to life. Do you wish to continue?
TomScott.com. I'm going to get Tom Scott on. Amazing work. See his YouTube channel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I first envisioned this probably 15 years ago because I knew that they could go out randomly with bots, target things on third-party platforms, and just have them deleted with no due process. And then when Shazam came out a decade ago, when you could hold up your so-called smartphone when they first came out at the mall or wherever, what's that song? It would tell you in like 10 seconds. And I remember thinking, they're going to use that to go out and find copyright music and stuff. And, of course, they were. And then I realized they could go out with these bots, pick up my voice algorithm, and erase me across the web under a globalist system if they're able to get all these draconian anti-free speech regulations and treaties in place. Now, in 2016, they hand the web over to the UN next month. The UN is admitting they're going to be shutting people down worldwide. If they even criticize radical Islam, you name it. YouTube has put out new terms of service saying, we'll demonetize you anytime the community complains, and our diversity specialists say so. And these are diversity specialists that will certify, you were popping in my ear, what were you saying? There, CJ?
Sorry, I was communicating with John Harmon at GCN.
Oh, sorry, you had the pot open to the network. Sorry, they were talking. Anyways, it's fine. We're teleprompter free. It's live radio. They were talking to the folks at the network. Now, continuing, they can just erase your voice all over the web, boom, like that. And now they're actually talking about doing that. And then here's an example. Joe Rogan had been on my show probably 30, 40 times over the years. And all of a sudden, our YouTube channel was shut down. And I went in there, and it was all these copyright strikes that I had had Joe Rogan on. It wasn't music. It was him talking to me. But they had monetized. He'd signed an agreement that he didn't fully understand. His spoken word. And so I was being hit for copyright for having a conversation with him in studio. And he had to have the copyright group working with YouTube go and switch all that off. So what I'm getting at is, when you just saw that terms of service piece from 2012 with a theoretical system in the future, that's actually what Ray Kurzweil's talking about. And that's what happens when you upload your, quote, photos, your documents to the cloud. You're opting in to give them everything you already are, and you can see the premeditated architecture and nurture of this. John Rappaport.
Boggling. It's boggling. That is the idea. You establish this huge commons, you want to call it, where information is everywhere and so forth and so on, and then you see that behind that is the intent to control, rule, absolute control of all of that. We can delete this, we can delete that, we can take this out, we can add that. In fact, we can claim that this person over here actually said this when he never did, and then we can back that up with 1,000 confirmations that that's true when it's a complete lie. And by the time we're done, that guy won't even know who he is anymore, because he'll be misrepresented in a million ways all over the internet. And then we can establish these machine bot trolls by the thousands and millions to back up everything that we're doing and screaming online and everything and all of that. You know, so, I mean, this is like a propagandist wet dream. We're going to run information. We're going to rule information. And now you expect that somehow this gigantic computer in the sky that your brain is going to connect to is going to be benevolent, inviting, open, interested in your ideas? I mean, are you crazy? This is total fascism. This is total mind control. And talking about DARPA, I mean, they're involved in a project, for example, now where they want to be able to insert images directly into your visual cortex, bypassing all the normal channels of perception, so that it isn't even a question of trying to regulate or change what you see. Seeing will become what's inserted into the visual.
They will broadcast directly to the brain. Have already been able to successfully do it. John Rappaport showing his great knowledge of what's happening. And for listeners, we're not trying to scare you. This project's ongoing. They released it a few years ago, declassified it, but from a private corporation, that Google, when it was founded in the late 90s, was having a board meeting and was getting CIA funding. This is all admitted. And the feds are saying, we already have search engines. This is NSA technology, you know, that searches your phone calls and your emails. I mean, that's what search engines are. It's basically an NSA search of their word database. But now they get you to opt into it and then can direct you where they want to go. And that's a dumbing down of the whole process, but that's the basics. Well, when you expand this now, they went on to say in the minutes of the first corporate meeting of Google, they said, excuse us, this is not just NSA systems that you gave us. We know that. We're going to control reality by getting everybody to feed their information into it. And there'll be a human computer interface that will teach it how to have a more than human brain, more than human. And then it will start giving impulses out to the humans to control them. And we're going to have an AI system that can predict the future and then manipulate the future through the billions of humanoids that are interfaced with us. You can go read all this. I mean, this is so diabolical. Please continue.
This is obviously where they're going with this. I mean, from the beginning, you could see this is what they want. They always want more control. It's not just enough to give you an idea that then you suddenly think is your own when it's really somebody else. No, this is about absolute control. This is the whole idea. This is where they're going. This is what they've been aiming for. So they're thinking now, well, it's all about the brain. 21st century has been called the century of the brain. You've got laboratories all over the world where researchers are doing work on the brain, compartmentalized all over the place. Many, 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 many researchers. And they're all talking about how they are working to cure diseases. And most of them believe that's true. They have no clue. They're what I call high IQ idiots. And so all of this work and research is being collated. And behind the scenes, the whole plan is to be able to control the brain at a distance, absolutely. That's where they're going.
That's right. Let's do five more minutes, and Dr. Pechenik joins us. I want to talk about what's happening to the physical Earth. The globalists aren't just assaulting humans. They're assaulting the entire fabric of life on this planet, engaged in vandalism, the likes of which we've never seen. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
What we're doing is just an emergency transmission, so humanity has a choice to be aware of what's happening. Because the globalists don't want to give you a choice. They think they can sucker you into this. And what we're telling you is the truth. It's all out in the open now. We've really moved quickly into this. And my basic boil down is this. The globalists have the money, the power. A lot of them are mentally ill. They're inbred. That's admitted. They hate themselves. That's why they say humanity's ugly and bad and fallen. And that we have to get rid of humanity and transcend to some new creature. But first, we have to all be wired into it. It's about control. It's about evil. But most of the mid-level people that go along with this plan do it because they hate themselves and they're projecting it onto the rest of us. Is that an accurate statement, John Rappaport?
Yes, they hate themselves at the highest level, and they always have, because they see something that's totally inauthentic about themselves. They don't have any real life force. They don't have any of the kind of ambition that an individual that's free and independent has. You know, I want to do something in my life, and this is what I want to do, and I'm all in, and it's fantastic, and I wake up every morning, and I want to keep pushing it, and it's great. No, their whole thing becomes, I wake up in the morning thinking about how many more people I can control. Why is that? Because they hate themselves, because they don't see anything. When they look inside, they see no life force of their own. They're totally removed.
Vampiric.
It's like, they're abstracted from all that somehow, and that's why they hate themselves. They're like dried out prunes that have no life left.
And does that projection go onto the earth? Because they seem to hate it even more than us.
Yeah, exactly. While they crow about, you know, let's bring the earth back and the radical environmentalist movement and all that, that's just a mask and a smokescreen. Behind that, what's really happening is they want to, you know, just destroy it. That's all they've got left. They've got nothing left but that. And you had a guest on, I can't remember who it was. It was a few months ago. And he was saying, you know, I used to think, okay, they're going to destroy a certain amount, create chaos, come in behind that, establish order, which I believe, yes, that's the agenda. That's the old pattern, whatever, he said. But I'm beginning to think that now they've gotten so crazy that they're just all out for total destruction without any second act, that some of them have just gone so far off the rails, that's all they can think
about. And that's why I'm saying there's an evil force, because it's clear, oh, take over, create world government, kill 80% of people, and then we'll ascend and be gods. Well, of course, once you get to that point, you're not really going to ascend and be gods. That whole paradigm is just going to continue. And it was Gavin McGinnis saying they just want to blow it all up, period, just because they're like throwing fits at their daddy or something.
Exactly. And they also kind of see that they're losing, that something's happening now, that people are emerging who don't believe what they say anymore. Absolutely don't believe it at all.
And see through everything they're doing.
And see through everything that they're doing.
Yep.
Well, I've been told this by major billionaires, globalist top people. They say that this show and others like it, they actually tune in to get reason to what they're doing because they can't even figure out what they've done, but they find that what we talk about and what you talk about is very profound. So there's a reason the elite listen, because they actually get sanity here.
They figure out what they're actually doing. Well, if they listen to today's broadcast, then they may go out and commit suicide, because what they're actually doing is just complete evil. I mean, that's the bottom line on it. You know, if they had any lives of their own, they would be pretty much minding their own business. I mean, that's one of the signs that you have a life of your own.
Exactly.
It's not that you just are shuttered off from the world. Absolutely not. Or that you let things go by and you don't care when the air is poisoned or any of that. I'm not saying that. But on some level, when it comes to, you know, social interactions and people, that you're not meddling in everybody else's
affairs. Meddling is the sign of a tyrant.
Exactly. Total meddling.
I mean, when you've got your own full life, you can barely even deal with your own life, much less your neighbors.
Right, exactly. You're doing what you want to do, and you don't need to mind their business.
Powerful. John Rappaport. Well, I'm going to talk to you again very soon. Thank you for the time. Always very thought-provoking. NoMoreFakeNews.com. Find his books there. They're amazing. We'll be back with Steve Pachinik on what's really happening this election.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Dr. Steve Pachinik is going to be riding shotgun with us for most of this hour. He's got a lot of topics he wants to hit on. I've got a bunch of questions for him to take him in some directions we don't go in sometimes. There is so much happening in the world. I want to ask Dr. Pachinik about this article Paul Joseph Watson wrote last week that links to the major German newspapers. German government preparing for civil unrest, citizens panic, buy food, warning of national catastrophe. Of course, a lot of our financial guests have been saying that the big German banks are in worse shape than we were in 2007, 2008. And, of course, a lot of those problems were in Europe back then as well. And this is really turning into a serious situation. I want to get Dr. Pachinik's take on Trump going to Mexico. And I think a very powerful speech about nationalism and our countries actually working together and not just being looted with one-sided trade deals, but also very nationalistic, but also conciliatory. I want to talk about an article he's written at stevepachinik.com. Tim Kaine, liar, Jesuit, CIA operative with dark past. Because a lot of people have been saying Hillary's clearly very, very ill. And Dr. Pachinik was here about 3 weeks ago, and he said it needs to be a board, you know, certified group of brain surgeons, a neurologist, pathologist to look at her. Since then, Obama's former doctor went on CNN and said the same thing, who's a Democrat, by the way. Dr. Drew basically came out and said she looks really sick, and she's taking this armored thyroid and Coumadin. That you take those together, that is just crazy. He said, I just need to talk to her. He was very loving about it. Fired 5 days later with a popular show. People that wear Trump shirts on TV that are guests are having it blurred out. I mean, they are. I'm surprised, as the head of WikiLeaks said yesterday, and he played the clip, Julian Assange, that the press climate is the old corporate media is lying lockstep and enthusiastically cheerleading disinformation at a foam-at-the-mouth level that I don't think I've ever seen even in other countries. I mean, even other big corrupt countries that are under authoritarianism, people kind of begrudgingly write the BS. This is like mind control or something. Is this because they're weak or because they're strong? I mean, they are pulling out all the stops. So that's a lot of issues to cover there, a lot of things to get into. But the reason I got into Hillary's health is exactly what Dr. Pachinik said. It was almost like a talking point. Then the next few days, that was repeated everywhere by other doctors and folks that I guess were just looking at the same information. But then we had to look closer at her VP, Mr. Kaine, because I don't really just judge a book by its cover, but he looks like a power-hungry candy ass to me. Then I researched his background. Total establishment Wall Street. I love Wall Street, but not the bad, corrupt, centralized groups. He's run by the nastiest big corporate groups, just like Hillary is. Those groups all completely scared of Donald Trump, which ought to be the reason he should be elected for everybody, that claims they're anti-establishment. He also worked with communists and stuff. He's just really nasty. The reason Kaine and Negroponte were in Honduras at the same time, while I was doing the devil's work, was to create an illegal army And then it goes on through all of that. So there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of different angles to this. But do they know she has a brain tumor? We know that Ted Kennedy had a brain tumor and lived a year or so with it. And from a lot of the doctors I've talked to, including Pachenik, they say a lot of her time in the hospital for a year, this isn't just a blood clot. And the type of drugs she was given, the things that are going on, it would be in association with a tumor being removed. And then I talked to some sources, obviously, and they said, well, we don't know what it is, but it's serious, and the rumor is it's a tumor. Whatever it is, she looks really bad. When she came out last week and attacked yours truly and others and twisted things I'd said, lied about things, said some things that were true, but really lied about, you know, Stephen Bannon and people, I mean, that, and Donald Trump. I mean, she really lied about them. She didn't look well there. But then she calls into most of the shows now. She can't do press conferences. This is quite a cornucopia here, doctor, but I want to bam, through this with you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, but I want to congratulate you, Alex, and your audience, because she reaffirmed the importance of the Alex Jones Show. I have never, in 30 years of my life, heard an opposition give credence to the so-called the truthers, the conspiracy. So we are now the main line, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone else. But let's get to her health. There's no question she has a health problem. I don't want to go too much into detail other than what I already said. She has a real problem. Central venous thrombosis, as Dr. Drew said and others have said, is a serious, serious problem, both in coagulation and neurological damage. But I want to go to the next element, which I wanted to really examine. Once I hit her, I began to ask myself the same question that you asked yourself and everybody else had. Who is Tim Kaine? And I started listening to him. Now, from my past experience, I want everybody to know I'm not anti-Catholic. Half my family's Catholic. I have treated Jesuits. Now, when I say I've treated Jesuits, I've treated Jesuits on behalf of the church and on behalf of some three-letter organizations. I will not announce who they are, but you can guess it. When I heard him speak, I immediately realized that he was too effete, too bombastic in a way that was disingenuous. Everything he said was that I was inspired by the poor people of Honduras. I lived in the mud hut. I mean, it was everything short of debasing himself in front of the church. And in fact, what happened is when I went back to my records and my sources, I found out that, number one, he lived in a very high, sophisticated compound, which had swimming pools, golf courses. He was under security. He was guarded. He had been affiliated with the CIA. Not only
sure, he pushes this narrative that he goes to black churches in America and helps the poor and all this, and it's all a complete cutout, a classic Jesuit program.
Well, it is the classical. I mean, what he does is like any sociopath. They combine a lot of lies with some truth. Sure, he probably went to a few Catholic, a few black churches in Virginia. There are a lot of them. But had he literally worked in Honduras to help the poor people? No, he was involved in developing the Contras. The one reason I know this quite well is General Noriega, when I flew into Honduras and then Panama, told me about the entire cocaine scheme. And I have a lot of respect for the ambassador of Honduras, who was Ambassador Negroponte, who was also affiliated with our intelligence service and one of the top ambassadors and intelligence operatives. But when you work with Negroponte, you're not on the side of the Lord. You are on the side of the devil that allows us to build up the Contras against the Sandinistas. So does that mean Tim Kaine is an effective operative? No. What it means is he uses his past, confabulates, and then uses his religion to manipulate the people and get to power. You would think this was the holy angel who came and gave us beneficence. In fact, he's not. Like many of the Jesuits, they were supported and funded by United Fruit Company, which is a front and a cutout for the CIA. So he, like the Jesuits, who won't admit it, have been part and parcel of the CIA programs.
Sure, they go around even stirring up the communist movements, then rounding them up, controlling the whole paradigm, which isn't that the Jesuits' specialty is 360 control, sitting correct in every political point of the compass. But let's go further. I mean, the Jesuits obviously historically aren't supposed to be Pope. We've got this new Pope coming in, pushing global government, going after Trump, doing all these things, lecturing everyone about carbon indulgences. And then now you've got this Jesuit VP with Hillary looking like she's not long for this world. We better look into this. Are we seeing a global Jesuit offensive? Even the London Guardian admitted.
Let me tell you why, Alex. First of all, I've talked about the Pope Francis for over a year now. I've known the Pope in the late 1970s and early 80s when he was the director of the Jesuits in Argentina under the military coup. He had allowed several Jesuits to be killed, as well as four nuns to be assassinated by the military coup. So once again, what we have here is not a unified entity. The Pope is not relevant to our political destiny. He's not even relevant.
No, I understand, but they admit that it was blackmail that helped them install him.
Correct. That is correct. So what you get here in a unified front is not that their power is effective. It's not. It's what you're getting is constant lies that are being used to bring in a lot of
people. I get it. So they can fight over the power structure they've got that's rotting, but they're not taking over the larger system.
And the key point that you brought out, is the press really getting more powerful? Is Hillary getting more powerful? No, I think you brought out the point that as the press gets more desperate, and in fact, thank God you were named as Alex Jones, what's happening is that the press is finding themselves to be totally eunuchs, ineffectual. And the reason for that is they don't have an audience. As you know, CNN has gone from 600,000 at the lowest end back down to 400,000 viewers per episode. And the only time they get a higher amount is when Trump comes up. But the key here is that even if we were to boycott all of the sponsors of CNN, it wouldn't make a difference because of the way the law is structured by the FCC that allows CNN, which is a dead outfit, to basically receive money from all of our cable inputs.
That's right. So people don't know about the carriage rights and all the rest of it, but CNN is a parasite, so is MSNBC, because they've been there so long with the carrying carriage rights that they get part of your cable bill, folks, even though you don't watch it.
I think you have to reemphasize that because, again, this is an example where no matter how much we protest and we discard it and we want to avoid the sponsors,
they just leave it up as a facade to make us think we're not winning.
Correct. But in fact, we are winning. And the point of fact is if we were to disconnect all of the cables and cut them through, eventually the cable companies would understand that they no longer can afford to pay ex cathedra the amount.
So what you're saying is they're already dead. They know they're dead, but now they're going to strike back. That's what I wanted to ask you next. We're going to break, sir. They're openly announcing all these new terms of service, Chinese style web IDs for what your social standing is, to economically impact you negatively if you don't submit to the system. Open announcements of wanting to censor the internet. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to backfire. But I want to ask you, who wrote NetForce with Tom Clancy and more, and predicted so much of this, what would happen? Dr. Steve Pachenik, stevepachenik.com is our guest. Hope folks are listening up, because a lot of times he gets, Homeland Security visits after he's on, because this guy is one of the most famous spies out there. We'll be back. Stay with us.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.
To show you how InfoWars is leading the charge, I've been pointing out for several years that George Soros is heavily involved. That George Soros has been heavily involved in trying to take over the internet in free speech. And here's our report from Monday where we broke it down. If you guys go back to what we just had on screen, I can show TV viewers. UN and Soros plan to take over the web. Now, today, it's up on Breitbart. But look, breaking, UN, George Soros to take over the internet. As alternative media continues to rise, the elite prepare to shut it down. That's August 30th from August 29th on the live show. And the only reason I show you that, again, is to not toot our horns. They're after us because we go read the documents. We know their plan. We know what they're up to. Leaked memo, Soros Foundation eyed stronger internet regulation in TPP negotiations. And it goes further than that. He wants it scripted in the memos to where his organizations get the traffic and we're not even allowed to get it. It's redlinked on drudgereport.com. But now we go to Dr. Steve Pachinik. This is a short segment, long segment coming up, Doc. As an information warfare guy yourself, former head of psychological warfare at the State Department, what would you expect them, knowing their modus operandi, to do now that corporate media's imploded, repeater media's imploded, they're intensifying propaganda, it's not working, they're going crazy, they're openly trying to say, let's arrest global warming deniers, let's take over the internet. Hillary emails say that you know, Breitbart and alt-right has no right to exist. I mean, this is final solution talk. What do you think is being bounced around that we don't know about?
Well, I think what you're seeing happening is the complete desperation of a very ineffectual system. When you talk about George Soros, I've met him and I've seen him at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's antiquated. I mean, you're really talking of the past. He can put all the money he wants, and he's actually not that brilliant. This is one of the few Jews, what we call a Judenrat, who worked with the Nazis, and he knows that. Once you have that kind of backup system, once you have the corruption of the Clinton Foundation, once you have the corruption of the media, the corruption of the Department of Justice and FBI, we have, in effect, a de facto state of revolution without having to go to guns and without having to go...
So we go back to your soft coup that took place 4 years ago. Where are
correct.
We now?
But this is exactly what you and I used to talk about, and you kind of warned me correctly. But this is the revolution that we talked about. It is an amazing revolution, which, you know, in part, I kind of predicted a net force would happen 30 years ago through the internet and through somebody like an Alex Jones, who was able to articulate what the reality was. And then that reality would be attempted to be distorted, changed, transmuted. But never once will they touch you, Alice. I can assure you of one thing. No one will touch you.
Well, you've been telling me that for 15 years, and it's been true so far. How do you know that?
Nobody is touching you, because I'll tell you why. As much as you and I may hit the system being the internal security of our military and intelligence forces, there are many who are with us who cannot say that they're with us openly. There are many of them who say to me, go on. They've never seen me. And they recognize me from my voice, or they recognize me from my presence on Alex Jones. But the truth of the matter is, America is now in a new kind of revolution. The Clintons don't get it. Soros doesn't get it. The CFR doesn't get it. Bannon gets it. Trump gets it. Breitbart gets it. You get it. And what happened is, without gloating about it, you have succeeded, and we've succeeded.
Well, our listeners have. I mean, absolutely. Drudge has been right at the center of it. And it's not about credit. It's about understanding where we are to gauge it. So this is definitely happening. And they now admit they're in deep trouble and hate the narrative we're putting out, because it's accurate. We're going to break in 1 minute. How do you expect them to counter it then?
Well, they're going to counter. They're very limited in their panoply of choices. In other words, they don't know exactly what they can do. They can deflate us. They can delegitimize,
misrepresent.
You saw that with Hillary saying, "Oh my God, he talked about, he being Alex Jones, talked about Sandy Hook as a false flag." Well, you and I know that it's a false flag. Millions of people know that. James,
let's talk about that when we come back. That was next.
Had to go to court. So the issue is, they can no longer appeal to the audience that is now well-versed in the internet, the reality, or what we call the alternative.
That's right. Stay there, Doc. You're absolutely right. It's not InfoWars. It's not Drudge. It's not Pachinik. It's that we're all just manifestations of people that know the score.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Longing for the sun, you will come to the island without me. Longing for the sun, be welcome on the island.
Look, it is surreal. I don't want to be gonzo journalism. It's not about sitting here and talking about ourselves and saying we're having this big effect. But listeners need to understand that what Dr. Pechenik was just talking about, that they're going to have big trouble moving against the liberty movement, whether it's Matt Drudge or Stephen Bannon or myself, because when you get into the actual groups and organizations and people that actually do the targeted killing, as it's called, they're almost all our listeners. And I'm not going to get into inside baseball, but you name a general of the last 10, 15 years that ran sideways with Obama or even Bush, and they're dialed in. And the military itself, I don't mean some new cadet or some new private in the Army or something, but I mean people that have been in combat, been involved and everything, they've got the big picture. And we were just one part of decompartmentalizing that. Now, because these people are on the inside and the outside, now that they've already got the accurate narrative, they're adding more to the narrative than we even add now. And so the battle space is getting very, very clear. And the growth curve has now spilt into the police departments, who we've been big critics of the problems of the federalization and constitutional abuses. But the point is, the police now are ridiculously awake. And so as this growth curve, almost like a virus spreading, but a good virus, grows, I don't see how they put it back together again. And I'm not trying to be too positive, okay? I'm not trying to be too positive on the face of this. But when you experience the things I've experienced, it's incredible. And again, I don't lionize all the veterans. I don't lionize current people in the military. And I don't lionize the Secret Service got its own problems or local police or whoever. But you can't ignore the radar ping when you've even been a critic of the police state. But because you're against George Soros and the destabilization campaign and the overthrow of the country, that whether it's state police in Ohio or whether it's the Secret Service or whether it's war heroes, you know, you name it, people that have been in the military for decades, famous in those circles, and they are huge listeners and tell you basically everybody else is, that is a major radar ping on the fact that the mainstream media kept pretending like it was the only game in town, shoveling BS at people. It lost all credibility. It demonized us. All it did was send more people here. And now they've got this huge problem on their hands because this information is proliferating. And I don't see what they do, Dr. Pechenik. I mean, I know I'm kind of belaboring that, but it's really the big news that they are in trouble. And when Hillary was talking about our liberty movement, our Americana movement, she looked legitimately really pissed and like she was being forced to eat rotten meat. I mean, as a psychiatrist looking at her in that speech last week, her alt-right speech, her most important speech, she said, what did you garner from it? And, you know, the script of my dark heart and all this. What is your view as a psychological warfare expert?
Well, my view is now we have to be exceedingly careful because we've wounded the lion and the lion is wounded and will strike out. The lion will not strike out against us again on the media because they find that that was not effective. And in effect, what they did was to really raise your profile and Drudge and Bannon's and the others. So that they either understood that or didn't understand it. If I were they, then they would have to go around with their huge connections, and they've compromised so many people, including the director of the FBI, Loretta Lynch, the FBI itself, the Secret Service. I mean, most of those institutions are so highly compromised, and what they're going to do is going to the ballot box, which is what you said many weeks ago, and that is we have to monitor the ballot boxes to make sure that there isn't anything going on a la George Washington, George Bush, and Bush Jr. and Jeb, because they're tied together. The Bush and the Clinton families are tied together. All of these families are tied together. What's happening, in effect, if we have disintegrated this incredible lattice of corruption and instability and put in place a totally different game. Now you see Obama, he's nowhere to be found. I mean, he's in China. Do we really need him in China? No. Has he accomplished anything in 8 years? I said from the day he came in, he would do nothing. He would lie and he would be ineffectual. And in fact, we've had more false flags with Obama than anyone else. Now we're going to have Hillary. She may pull a false flag again. another type of a false flag, and in turn try to divert the attention away from the conversation and the narrative to make it look as if we have another problem, either a terrorist problem or a crisis in the government or some crisis overseas. Right now, we're in a position where the next couple of weeks, she is isolated. She has been isolated for such a long time that, in effect, she's in a bubble. And that bubble has reinforcement from the people around her. Huma Abedin and all of the other people, Jake Sullivan, none of them are really that effective or that smart in national security or in psychological operations.
Well, let me raise this, sir, and then I want to play a clip for you. I'm sure you've seen it. Have you seen the clip of her a few weeks ago in Reno when a woman like 50 feet away just yells something about animal rights and Hillary looks like an insane bag lady?
No, I hadn't seen it.
And then the doctor, the black doctor with the EpiPen, runs up and goes, "It's okay, it's all right."
Oh, yeah, that one. That's correct.
Well, let's play this clip, because as a psychiatrist looking at this, I mean, I'm a lay person, but she clearly goes out of it for a minute. Like when you've got, you know, a 90-something-year-old grandmother, she goes out of it and then comes back. I mean, it clearly, she looks like the definition of a loon. Let's play the clip.
No, you're okay. Keep talking. You handle it. We're not going anywhere.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Are.
You're okay. And of course, there's hundreds of these clips, but she's got a handler there that brings her back to reality. She looks like she's about to fall down until
I remember that. I have seen it. But remember, let's not focus on the specific point anymore. The issue of her health, mental health, and physical health has come out loud and clear. They understand that they have to keep her isolated and insulated. In contrast, you hear Trump going, I mean, it was really quite a coup for him to go down to Mexico. But more importantly, he went down with Mike Pence to Louisiana. Even the president of the United States didn't have enough intelligence or enough even need for optics to understand that it was important for him to go down to Louisiana.
Hillary didn't go either. What does that say?
No. Hillary is totally isolated. She's non-functional. What she's functional on is to raise money internally, which means basically help me, help me. She's in a highly...
So she's a figurehead they roll around in a jar, like Drudge said.
Correct. She is highly, probably more immobilized than people realize. They're trying to feed her and prop her up. The real issue now isn't Hillary as much as it is the entire movement represented by the Clinton-Bush Foundation and all the other elements, including, you know, Kane and including the FBI, Comey and Loretta Lynch. They all have to go, and they will go. The point of fact now is for Trump to have a team that is quite strong in domestic policies and in foreign policy. If he can announce that team and bring it out and make sure that they're well vetted, because that's one of the key elements, then he gets ahead of the game.
By the way, Dr. Pachinik, let me ask you this question. Trump is so dialed in that the day he flew down there, I know he didn't hear this from me, I was saying, no one knows what's going to be in his private talk with the Mexican president, but I'd say, let's work together as our economies, let's do good deals, let's not let globalism screw us over anymore. And then it turns out that's what he says to the president, and reportedly, the president came out with a good body language and then later said nice things, and now, you know, Trump says it really went well. I mean, that is very presidential, that Trump's so dialed in on such the patriot page that I mean, he's just doing everything right.
That's correct. But now he has to continue that. The debates will determine only one part of the final solution, as you call it. The real concern I have is that the voting machinery and the voting software has to be monitored by our people and has to really be evaluated as to what happens. It's the old Stalin routine. He can say, I don't care who votes and how many times you vote. I care who controls the voting machinery. And that's really where we are now with the Clintons, because they will do whatever they need to do to get her in there. And then once they get her in there, then the entire team of cockroaches just moves in, and it'll be a repetition of Bill Clinton and Obama. And once again, Hillary does not have a very impressive team. They're just not. It has nothing to do with Democrats or not.
Well, won't she be compromised by all these foreign powers, from the Saudis to the Chinese, that have been buying her and selling her like a cheap prostitute?
Correct. And she and Bill have been so compromised by the Chinese all the way back when I was in the Bush senior administration, and the Chinese were buying off Tyson's Chicken, Purdue, Walmart, and Bill. And that was part of their own plan. The Chinese have come in with billions of dollars. She's been bought off. The Saudis have had her. The point of fact now is that we can literally impede that.
Sure.
By literally saying,
why has good parts of the government allowed the president and his co-president to become basically a $5 whore that's passed around by foreign governments? I mean, that just
sounds... You know, it's the old concept of the pension. When I asked a lot of my people that I knew in the CIA and in other intelligence organizations, why did you allow 9/11 to occur? And the answer from two of my friends, I can't identify them, and the CIA said, Steve, it's sad, but they wanted their pensions. And the truth of the matter is we can no longer have people in the government who have 20-year pensions and up and out. We will have to reformulate that so that, in fact, their contribution to our country is not their pension.
Well, they ought to use their head. You let evil like this in, you're never going to get your pension to begin with. And that's going to destroy the whole country.
Well, the point is, you know, with a 20-year lead time, I can have buy off so many people that it's unbelievable, in the Foreign Service, in the Intelligence Service, and now we can no longer afford that. So when Trump comes in, he has to look at that type of mindset and that type of financial model.
No, I agree with you. Now, we got to move quick here. Since you mentioned the Hillary speech, here's where she attacked yours truly. Now, I want to be clear. I have said that clearly it's a false flag. They've got adults that act like actors, blue screens with Anderson Cooper. The media never attacks my points because I want them to hit my pieces of proof that Bloomberg sent an email out the day before activating his gun groups for something big to happen the next day, that they were all ready, that they got circles of kids going in and out of the building, that a guy in camo was grabbed in the back, but they cover that up, and then they didn't send emergency choppers, and they didn't send ambulances for hours. All of this went on. I'm saying it should be investigated. The whole thing, now you've said it's a total false flag. My point is they gestalt it and say, well, when he says 9/11, he means the firefighters blew it up. Or when he says Oklahoma City's a false flag, he means, you know, the little government did it, not criminal elements. Same thing with Sandy Hook. Very suspicious to me, but you're a smart guy that has, you know, run false flags, obviously. You're saying it has all the telltale signs. I want to get your take on this clip. Here it is.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones, who claims that 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings were inside jobs. He even said, and this really just is so disgusting, he even said the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre were child actors and no one was actually killed there. I don't know what happens in somebody's mind or how dark their heart must be to say things like that. But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said, "Your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down." This from the man who wants to be president of the United States.
Okay, so I mean, just taking away from this, not even responding to what she does there. This is a lady who brags about, "I came, I saw, he died. Hundreds of thousands die. They ship Al-Qaeda and ISIS into Syria. They kill Christians by the hundreds of thousands." She lies about being a war hero, being shot at, you know, in the Balkans. And she holds her heart, this little old lady. It'd be one thing if she really was a little old lady saying, "I have a dark heart." Maybe I do compared to a little old lady. But she's not our average little old lady, is she, Dr. Pechenik?
No, what she is doing is what I have called the fascism of the left. She is literally repeating the lies again and again, like Hermann Goering has said, and Goebbels said it very clearly, that if you repeat something many, many, many times, it eventually sounds like the truth. In fact, she knows it's not the truth. She knows Eric Holder. She knows Eric Holder was involved in arming the drug cartel. She's well aware of all of this. But the minute she releases a moment of reality, the entire storyline breaks up. So she has a house of cards, literally a house of cards. And if one card is taken away and she legitimizes either the Oklahoma bombing or Sandy Hook, which was absurd, absolutely absurd. And again, it was Eric Holder and Obama. And even if she were to legitimize the absurd videos and movies about killing Osama bin Laden, who already had Marfan syndrome and was an old man, and they found him in Pakistan in the most highly secured and most elegant area, the whole nonsensical narrative breaks apart. So she not only destroys herself, she destroys 8 years of Obama.
Well, why did she attack myself and Bannon and the alt-right when everybody knows Obama talks about us all the time and says, you know, that guy in Texas, I mean, they know not to say the name for whatever reason. It's not that we need their legitimacy. They'll mention other people attacking him that aren't effective. They don't want to mention us because they don't want to draw attention to the fact that we're really right on target.
Well, there's a French expression, qui s'excuse s'accuse. He who excuses himself accuses himself. And this is very true of Obama, who's a pathological liar. I mean, he came up through the way again that she came up, and I can't underline it enough times. The CIA thought they would bring up a black narcissist without a background, without any training, with a nonsensical story, train in Occidental College in Los Angeles, where half of my operatives retired and trained a lot of people in transcultural. His parents, grandparents were at the East-West Center, where Obama is now, a total nonsensical cutout for the CIA, and they brought him into power. She came out of Yale. She works for the agency. So did Bill Clinton. And they are disasters. The agency is not the highest quality institution that we have anymore. In fact, the most professional units we have are the people like James Clapper and the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, who are military, Air Force, who were selected for their intelligence and professionalism, not for their political
activity. Sure. What would you say about somebody like General Flynn?
Well, I'm a great admirer of Flynn because I saw him actually work for many hours. I was invited to one of his conferences. He's an aggressive, he's an assertive individual.
Dr. Pechenik, final segment. Stay right there. We're going to come back and hit more of this straight ahead. It's InfoWars. Massive red link at DrudgeReport.com. Clinton says she could not recall all briefings due to concussion, FBI report. So she says she's sick and can't remember things, but she's got the stamina when she gets up out of bed 10 minutes a day and stumbles around. And guys with injector pens are like, it's okay, it's okay. And she's like, about to fall over. But the Associated Press, Reuters, all reporting it. Clinton says could not recall all briefings due to concussion, FBI report. Print that off for me, guys. I'm going to be covering this more with Anthony Gucciardi in the next hour. Labor Day, Barry, FBI, releases Clinton email investigation docs. We'll be covering it all weekend. Interviews, notes, more. Lost cell phone with classified info. Thought markings were alphabetical paragraphs, even though she's in the CIA since college. Extensive evidence violating federal records laws. Withheld 17,500 emails, throws other people's judgment under the bus. Hillary's health defense can't recall after the fall. Meanwhile, leaked memo, Soros eyed stronger internet regulation in TPP that favored himself. And Hillary, now her response is war with Russia. That story is red linked on InfoWars.com right now. It just went up, so we'll be covering that in the next hour. Hillary also, in 2006, said, let's build a wall to port illegals. But the bigger story is, again, Hillary Clinton pushing war with Russia, which is just a distraction overall. We're going to go back to Dr. Pechenik here in just a moment. He's going to be able to do 5 minutes more with us in the next hour. Then I'm going to talk to Gucciardi about all the news and clips I haven't played. But when you look at this and Hillary running around, again, saber-rattling, I see it as nothing more as a distraction. We'll talk to Dr. Pechenik in a moment and see what his take is on it. But Paul Watson's got a report on that at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, a pretty big deal. By the way, I barely plug, as everybody knows, once an hour. Didn't even really do it this hour. I actually have this here because the crew likes to drink it. It's Vitamin Mineral Fusion. organic vitamins and minerals, the full spectrum with amino acids so you can have them more bioavailable. It's Vitamineral Fusion. When you purchase it, it funds the operation. We now have our BioTrue Selenium, such a key element in electrochemical activities in the body and cell function. It's from the mustard seed. Most sources are synthetic. This is only $19.95, and similar formulas are like $50. This is a really good deal, and your purchase funds our operation. So BioTrue Selenium, our newest product with five-star reviews at InfoWarsLife.com, and it's our first run. It'll probably sell out by the middle of next week, and folks are really liking it. I get amazing energy from it. I knew selenium was key, but, man, you take a big old dose of selenium, it is something else. We also have 20% off on Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I should have added that. We have a lot of other great products at InfoWarsLife.com. We have Hillary for Prison shirts at cost, $9.95, shipping included. That is cost. So $9.95, you get the shirt and free shipping. I mean, by that, it's included for $9.95. If you wish to buy it for $19.95, there's a button to do that if you want to help fund what we're doing. And believe me, having the funding makes it a lot easier to be able to continue on and not spend all my time having this penny pinch and stuff. I need to get more reporters, more crew. History is happening now. I don't want to contract. I want to grow. And let me tell you, you either grow or you contract. And we're slowly growing. Our reach and listenership is going parabolic, straight up like a rocket. But funding is not. It is creeping along, though growing, not at a pace to be able to match what we need to do. So please, there are thousands of great items at InfoWarsStore.com. We strive to have the very best quality at the lowest price. A lot of times we have the lowest prices. Sometimes we don't, because there's a lot of bargains out there. But when you purchase high-quality storable foods from us, or you get shortwave radios or films or the new film Amerigeddon, get a free bottle of colloidal silver with that, an amazing natural antibiotic, obviously, it helps fund this operation. So whether it's strategic relocation, the film or the book, or super high-quality Pro Pure and Alexa Pure water filters or Alexa Pure Breeze indoor air filters, your purchase makes it possible. And then I'm going to celebrate another week in the fight against tyranny with a big old glass of Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We're going to be back to have a final comment from Dr. Steve Pachenik, and then the News Blitz.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From Austin, Texas.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I appreciate Dr. Pachenik holding the last 5 minutes while I was plugging, but that's how we fund the operation, as he knows. You can read his books, see his material, and read his excellent articles at stevepachenik.com. I'm going to play this special report at the start of the next segment. Hillary threatens war with Russia, and the media doesn't even report on it, from the American Legion. I was reading the quotes of what she said. To see this bedraggled sea hag trying to start wars is truly amazing when Russia has the GDP of Italy and China is obviously, in my view, the threat. And that's what people like Trump have said. But they like to bully a country they think they've got under their control. That's really what it's all about. She's a Soros globalist. So she just sees another country like Ukraine to loot. What a buzzard-like creature. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop ranting. Dr. Pachenik, thank you for the time. Thank you for the energy. 4 more minutes to cover whatever you'd like, sir.
All right, let me just say categorically, we will not have any war with Russia, and we will not have any war with China. We are destroying ISIS. Now, the reason I say that is not wishful thinking. General Michael Flynn, who is in the intelligence community and is highly respected, understands that the intelligence community plus our military community works very closely with the Russian soldiers and Russian intelligence. That's never going to change. The whole issue with Hillary is the fact that she has a whole group of neocon Jews and neocon Christians who worked for Bush Sr. and were involved in 9/11. Those are the 50 people who are so-called experts that said that Trump is not qualified. That's nonsense. The second thing that we have is our economy will grow. If Trump comes in, I think it's very important to understand that the most important issue is not just immigration, but it is our economy and the jobs that we have at home. Trump can do that. He is the first president literally in 50 years who's been trained in reading a balance sheet, a cash flow sheet, and understands what it takes to create a business, even if you have to bankrupt that business. That's part of the dynamics of building and creating businesses. I've done 28 of them, and I've had to close down half of them. So anybody who's been in the world of business or creating companies knows that there are all kinds of problems. Hillary has never been involved in anything other than self-aggrandizement, manipulation, collusion, and corruption. And that's true of her entire family, including Chelsea, unfortunately, who I knew and I thought she was a sweet girl. But the worst part of the Clinton family is to corrupt that woman, that young girl from Stanford. But they don't stop at anything. So we have to be aware now. It's going to be even more lethal and dangerous on the part of the Clintons. They will do everything and anything to get that election. They will corrupt the electoral processes. They will change the machinery. They will create diversion. They will create false flags. And in turn, we have to make sure that we are aware, that we have situational awareness, that our soldiers and intelligence operatives overseas vote early and bring in the votes and make sure those votes are counted, that we're at...
Let me ask you this, because this is so important since you brought this up, Dr. Pachinik. I come out, say, hey, Trump, you got to watch out for election fraud. He's already on that page, comes out, starts getting the folks ready to be on top of it. Obama says it's ridiculous. The feds aren't involved in elections, even though we know they are. Then he brings in the EU and the UN and actually has Homeland Security now announcing they're going to seize control of the election. That is sensational. What does that signify?
Well, it signifies nothing. The Homeland Security, as everybody knows in the government, is nothing more than a paycheck of ineffectual people. And it was a disaster. Most of them just bring in their pension and they look...
So it's just a new agency declaring itself the commander of everything else.
Well, they can create whatever they want. Basically, Washington is dead. It's functionally inept. And what's happening and why I continue to go at it is we have a devolution of power more than anything else. And that's what they are afraid of more than anything else. It's no offense, Alex. It's not globalism. It's devolution of power.
No, I agree. I agree that globalists are scared of power going back to the people,
correct,
back
and
to local areas.
Brexit. As Trump brought in the...
You've been hammering it forever, and it's happening. I want to have you back next week if you'll do it on
right.
De-evolution
God
of power.
Bless you, and let's keep fighting because we're there, and we need more effort.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, the video's up on Infowars.com. It's a Paul Joseph Watson report, and I'm going to add under his video, because people need to have that as well. My video from a week ago, the threat of nuclear war is not fear porn. And I understand that governments have saner minds in them and that the U.S. military has been working with the Russian military to try to take out ISIS and al-Qaeda when they totally proved 4 years ago that Obama and Hillary were literally working with Saudi Arabia to do this. And that's not hype. That's not a fairy tale. That's not a movie. That really happened. Our government, Cy Hirsch has written articles about it. It's confirmed. Has been hijacked by criminals and our own military said, we're not doing this, and then fed the intelligence to the Russians to roll the group up. When the Russians had destabilized al-Qaeda and ISIS enough, they pulled out. And the next part of the deal is, after Obama was embarrassed into claiming he'd strike ISIS, now the U.S. military is supposed to go in and finish it up. And so that's the level of stuff that we told you was happening 4+ years ago. Now it's been mainstream news. And I only bring that up so you understand, we're not a regular talk show where I go get the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and then every 30 minutes we have a new topic and I go, what do you think of this football player who won't, you know, stand for the national anthem? Well, he's a bastard and a horrible person. Okay, tell us something we don't know. Or maybe he's just misguided. It doesn't matter. It's a diversion. And I'm not saying you're bad if you're looking at it or talking about it. What I'm saying is that we tend to focus in on the big central issues to communicate with people in government and corporations worldwide for true detente so that the globalists can't manipulate nation states off against each other to collapse us so they can take control. I'm here exposing the hat trick. And once you explain it to the military, you've explained it to every military. Once you've explained it to the Japanese vice president, which I did many years ago, they understand. And I'm not saying that in a haughty way. You think these people are smart. They are, but they've always been their own politics, their own system. They go off the mainstream media and off those issues like it's real, because you instinctively think your national paper is going to actually be trying to help your country. No, it isn't. There was no other narrative. No one was producing one. We produced a narrative that isn't perfect, but is on target. And now what is really exciting is that narrative is being picked up everywhere, and people are discovering it's not my narrative or Dr. Pechenik's narrative. It is the narrative of what's really happening, because they don't need to hear it from us. They can hear us talking about something and then tune right over to what's happening beside them and see it continuing on. And once you understand the globalist plan, then you can go read the books they've written. I would say perhaps you should start there, but people don't seem to start with the rulers of the planet's own books they write. They tend to just stick with mainstream media. But if you do want to go read Tragedy and Hope and things like that, you really should, because then you will look around the world and go, oh my God, these people are out of control and they're crazy and we've got to stop them. Now, you hear the confidence of somebody like Steve Pechenik, and first and foremost in the military and in black ops and in clandestine operations, confidence is everything. And I don't think he's wrong with his confidence overall. But at the same time, we need to still be really, really concerned, because we're sitting on top of a time bomb. And he knows that. He's trying to give you confidence. But it's not that it's a lie. We're not sitting here just giving you confidence to be confident. Good things are happening. So we just want to put that best foot forward and point out that we can change the world together. I remember Pechenik, when he was still in the Council on Foreign Relations, pretty high up in it, and things, leaking info to us. Don't let me use that word. Giving us information like 15 years ago that would like then be all over the newspapers in 2 days. But of course, we didn't get credit for it. I didn't care. And then people in different agencies and stuff said, who is this kid? He doesn't even care about getting credit. He'll take all the risk and not take any of the credit. Well, yeah, I'm trying to defeat the New World Order that wants my guns and wants to conquer my family. It isn't about getting credit fighting these people. But at this point, we have to give ourselves credit to understand how powerful the information is. And you, the listener, you, the viewer, are at the heart of this whole thing. And so you have to understand, no matter what happens to myself or others, you carry on this information after that, and that's what's so important. So, yes, we are in danger of larger wars. Yes, the neocons and George Soros and other weirdos are trying to start World War III. Yes, the militaries have basically taken that out of their hands, where we're at a point that's so crazy that the military has had to stand up against Obama. That's why he fired thousands of different people and has been flipping out and doing all this crazy stuff. And these dinosaurs like Clinton have finally gone back and reverse engineered where all the information comes from and where, let's just say, somebody dumb enough to stand up and tell the truth came from. That's really, everybody already knew the truth. Just, I was just dumb enough. No, I wasn't dumb enough. I believed in humanity. I believed that if we told the truth and warned people and raised the alarm, there were men and women better than me that would rise up and lead the fight to defeat this. And it's happening. And that's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't just evil in the universe. There's good, too. But if you do nothing, evil wins the day. If you forfeit the game, if you don't get in the arena, it's game over. In fact, I want to read it one more time, because the last two times I asked you for it, I dropped the ball, didn't read it. Will you guys print me the Man in the Arena speech? Thanks. Let's go ahead and go to Paul Joseph Watson's short report on how what a statesman Trump is, bringing people together. Meanwhile, Hillary is threatening Russia with nuclear war, with World War III. Here it is.
If Donald Trump threatened to go to war with a major military power, do you think the media would be interested? Yet Hillary Clinton just did precisely that, and it's barely a footnote in the mainstream press. Take a look.
You've seen reports. Russia's hacked into a lot of things. China's hacked into a lot of things. Russia even hacked into the Democratic National Committee. Maybe even some state election systems. So we've got to step up our game, make sure we are well defended and able to take the fight to those who go after us. As president, I will make it clear that the United States will treat cyber attacks just like any other attack. We will be ready with serious political, economic, and military responses.
In case you missed that, Hillary just said that the next time Russia is blamed for a hack, because there's no evidence whatsoever that they were behind the DNC hack, Hillary will fight them with a military response. Fighting with a military response. That sounds a heck of a lot like a threat of war to me. Threatening to declare war on Russia. You'd think that would be a big story, right? Yet virtually no big media outlet even highlighted it. Donald Trump has been savaged for being reckless with his words. Yet here we have Hillary openly invoking military conflict with a global superpower, and the media gives her a free pass. We've had a year of hysteria over Trump starting World War III and having control over the nuclear codes. But it's not Trump who's brazenly threatening another nuclear-armed country with war. It's Hillary Clinton. Clinton is crazy. She thinks Vladimir Putin is behind literally everything, from WikiLeaks email hacks to Trump to the rise of the alt-right, with zero evidence. But the media parrots it like it's gospel. She's also perfectly prepared to launch into wars that have disastrous consequences.
We came, we saw, he died.
And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. We would be able to totally obliterate them.
Hillary Clinton openly threatening war with Russia, and the media doesn't even report on it. But they'll continue to lecture us about how it's Trump who's being irresponsible with his rhetoric. Give me a break.
By the way, when I heard her with that quote, I guess just a few days ago, it was 2 weeks ago that the headline was, NATO announces that cyber attacks will be seen as military attacks and the U.S. will respond. Militarily. And there it is. Massive cyber attack and trigger NATO response. Stoltenberg, the head of NATO. So NATO says it might have grounds to attack Russia. And now you hear Hillary saying the exact same thing. And of course, they've not proven that Russia did that. You know, early on I said, oh yeah, Russia's done a lot of hacks like of the UN and Climate Gate. Oh, thank you, Russia, for going into the university where they were organizing the whole UN and over 1,000 universities to, quote, hide the decline and push carbon tax. That was going to be a forced carbon tax on Russia that would kill their only big export. And it'll hurt everybody else, too. It's a scam. I'm going to pay the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and Al Gore trillions of dollars. Good job, Russia. Standing up for your own interests. You understand, Russia, people go, why is Russia so aligned with the liberty movement worldwide? And we're like, because it's the new world order. It's the big global government screwing everyone. Instead of Hydra heads, it's got you-know-what. It's just screwing everybody, basically. And people are tired of it, man. And you've got Hillary running around. But the more I looked into it, now it's been admitted, most of this is just all sorts of private hackers, people in U.S. agencies, DNC staffers. But when she came out, and now she just says that, you know, Russia hacked. That's not even admitted by the FBI. She just says it. She lies. She lies. She lies. So a very, very important video. You know, I shot a video a week ago titled World War III is not fear porn. This attitude that bad things can't happen generationally is what leads to giant wars. Governments, communist governments, killed over 200 million people in the 20th century. They've killed tens of millions in the last 16 years. Other wars combined. I mean, World War II killed 21 million Germans. Okay, 20 million Russians, close to a million Americans. And these people sit around like it's impossible when we're desperately trying to stop it. And I love how it's always mental midgets TV heads, video game heads that look at us that are informed, that are communicating to generals, that are communicating to, you know, real people worldwide trying to stop this. I'm not bragging, but we're the real people that are informed and involved in what we're talking about, trying to stop all this crap, trying to get better trade deals, trying to not have all this GMO stuff causing the cancer, trying to get the glyphosate out of the water. And all these lazy jackasses look at me and say, I'm the problem. Well, listen, even if you're a lazy jackass, I still care about you. The globalists think you're an idiot, want to get rid of you. Okay, now here's my deal. We're going to get rid of the globalist. If you want to go jump off a cliff after that, you're welcome to, but I'm not going to do it. Anthony Gucciardi, your take on today's broadcast.
You know, it's funny. It's such a juxtaposition, isn't it? People don't care about the real things. They want to attack you for being in the arena. And I love that allegory, by the way, of being in the arena. Because people just, they want to sit around and they want to watch television and do anything they can to get their mind off of it so they don't have to actually think about any of this. And it's funny how people care so much about things like the Zika virus, like, oh my God, the Zika virus is coming. We have to just do everything we possibly can. It's the end of the world. But then you have Putin speaking of even mentioning World War III. I mean, that's insane. He's saying you're moving missiles in,
you're breaking your treaties, you're menacing us. We've got to do something. Why won't you cover it? Why you keep doing this? We don't even have military bases. We're not doing anything to you. We're in a depression. You've got horrible wartime sanctions on us. Stop it. What the hell are you doing? You just love Putin. No, I don't like picking on people that haven't done anything to me. Who do I hate? Who do I want to fight? I want to fight the globalists. They're big. They're powerful. They're pissing on us.
People are threatened by anything that disturbs their reality that they have had created for them. And I'm not sitting here insulting everyone, acting like everyone's stupid, okay?
Now, I know our audience knows this, but I'm just talking about the general public who cannot, the average American doesn't know the three branches of government. They have no idea who the vice president is. And I'm sorry, Republicans got their problems, but when you talk to an average Democrat, they are the stupidest people in the world. We go out in Austin trying to find smart Democrats. They're the dumbest people you've ever seen. They are jackasses.
You know, you talk about why don't people care about that? Why do they say it's fear porn? Because they've got different problems. They have a different set of problems.
They're living in a fantasy land. A delusional fantasy land where they're all powerful and, you know, they've got their, you know, fantasy land they're going to live in. They've got stacks of TV shows and video games and comic books they want to look at. Well, good. You're not even an adult. You're a baby.
Well, they're upset. Look, they're upset by Twitter posts. You're upset by the proclamation of World War III. That you just have different quality problems. And the thing is, the people that are upset by the Twitter posts, they're going to do anything they can to shut you down in their brain. So they're going to label you. They're going to say whatever it is they're going to label you. They're going to try and shut you down because the intrusion into their mindset that their problems aren't
you
where
just they said it.
Be.
I was thinking yesterday. This is incredible, Anthony. You just reminded me. I was thinking last night and this morning. I was like, why do these trendies hate me? Why do they lie about me? Why do they attack me when all I do is care about them? Because I'm a human. They should care about me. It's symbiotic. And I realized it. I am intruding on their fantasy land.
You are.
And that's what they don't like.
You are actually coming in with a sledgehammer. You know, maybe it doesn't mean every single thing we say, but you're coming in like a sledgehammer, smashing down the wall. Seriously, I mean, think about this. And it's all a fantasy land where all that matters is the things on Netflix and someone getting triggered by something. This is real life. We joke about this kind of stuff. We joke about getting triggered and all that. People really care about that. I've spoken to.
Oh no, they get off. Harvard is triggered by the word. All sorts of just basic words. Let me expand on this. It's like we're busting into a wall where there's mind control victims from birth, hooked up to virtual reality goggles, where they're in endless orgies or whatever. They're actually all debilitated. They're having their blood siphoned off for GMO experiences. You know, all sorts of crazy stuff. Here's the allegory. They're hooked up to this thing, and I'm there trying to unhook them like the Matrix. You're trying to unhook them, and they're like pulling the goggles off and going, ah, get away from me. You're evil. You're bad. I want back in the Matrix. I mean, I think that's what you're saying, Anthony.
Yeah, it's sad because we're not going in there saying you're stupid, you're bad. We're saying, hey, just take the goggles off for 5 minutes. Just look at it. Saying, hey, you know, maybe we don't have all the answers, but at least just take the goggles off. Just look for 1 second. Just come on. Just at least try. But then, you see, they're not insulting people like us. Because they actually look into what we say. They don't read the books that you're reading. They don't read the information you're presenting. They don't read any of this stuff. A lot of these people. Not everybody, but some of these people. They don't read
anything. So what do we do about them? Because I've seen people that are actually awake and involved decide the Matrix and say, I don't care. I know you're right. I want to go watch movies and play video games and read comic books. Bye-bye. I choose oblivion.
The answer is, We have to look at all the systems that led them there, right? So we have to infiltrate those systems, which is what's happening.
I agree. We're trying.
Look at the social networks. Everything that is being posted on there, if you look at what's really trending, a lot of it is decent news, right? So what happens is people get into these, as Matt Drudge calls them, ghettos, right? I'm going to say mind ghettos, not even just social networks, because they can be good in some ways. But mind ghettos, you have to infiltrate the like prisons of the mind and activate and say, hey, look at this little thing. It doesn't have to be huge, right? Like just a little bit of a crumb, like a crumb trail, like when someone gets lost in the forest and they leave like M&Ms or whatever to follow it. Just a little trail just to make them start questioning things and thinking about things. Because once you get there, it becomes addictive. Because once you take the glasses off, you can't just put them back on. You might want to, but you can't. Right. So even if it means questioning a little bit of something, even if it means using the so-called tactics that the establishment system uses, right? Like little meme images and like.
Absolutely. Because if that's what gets them to come into a larger window and see what's happening, let's do it. It's almost like shooting a laser pointer through a window into some enslaved group's system. They're in their own little false paradigm. You want to bring them into a larger paradigm, even though you're not perfect. Then that little laser pointer makes them come to the window to realize there even is a window. And maybe they see the woman they're going to end up loving and marrying and having kids with when they stare down into the street, all because you distracted them away from the TV for 10 seconds out of that false dimension into this real dimension. But let me ask you this. They're announcing all the censorship. They're pulling out all the stops. They're going crazy right now. Is that a sign of weakness or of strength?
Total weakness. Think about this. The reason that we are seeing, and by the way, this is real human empowerment talking about this stuff. The reason we're seeing all this actually happening and people getting more so-called awake, so-called aware, whatever you want to say, is because now more than ever before, look at this image on screen of Mark Zuckerberg walking around like a god. Stuff like that, it reminds people. So let's say they listened to Alex Jones. Let's say they listened to Matt Drudge, whatever, like 5-6 years ago, and they heard about some of this stuff, and they're like, I don't know, I'm going to put that under the rug for a while. What happens is it sits there. It sits in the mind, and then they see something like this photo. Or then they see Hillary say, I have no health problems, but of course she's saying right now that she can't remember Benghazi because of her health problems. I mean, those kind of things, the people aren't actually innately stupid. They're not.
And see, if you're conscious, like let's take Drudge. The first thing Drudge thinks when she puts out an article saying, I couldn't remember because I have no memory because of concussions, is her saying she doesn't have any memory problems, and it's great. But someone who's tied into this Arrested Development, Suspended Disbelief, TV head stuff, has no memory and is always only in the moment reactively as a spectator, not in the arena. But all InfoWars does, or Drudge does, is sit there and go, Obama said feds aren't involved in elections a month ago. Now they're taking them over. That's, I mean, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. We're not involved in rocket science behavior. But if you can realize 2 + 2 = 4, if you can't see Zuckerberg's walking by with a crap-eating grin, looking at his idiot employees squatted over with virtual reality goggles on, he's bipedal, they're the slaves, they're devolving, the predator's in control, they're like monkeys with brain chips in their heads. I mean, I didn't call Drudge up and say, this is total enslavement. By the time I woke up in the morning, he had that up. Before I even saw what he said about it, I already had that thought when I saw the photo. I go to Drudge, he's saying exactly what I thought. Not because we're synced up psychically, but because as a normal, smart human, I know enslavement and what's bad when I see it.
You posted it on Twitter the very second you saw it. And the thing is,
you had a good memory. I did. I sent it out before I even went to Drudge and saw that he had it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying is we're like synced. It's like if I was Donald Trump, I'd say, let's fight globalism. Let's come together as nation states. Let's have respect. You're not respecting us. I want to respect you. The Mexican president sold. See, I said Trump should say that. Trump didn't get that from me. It's just what the truth is.
And that's why you go crazy when you do this for so long, because no one listens and you say, don't people see what's going on? It's not that people are stupid. I don't think people are innately stupid. They just turn the light switch off in their head because they're busy. They don't care. They have job to do.
I agree.
They get home, they're tired. Well,
sometimes I wish I knew how to do that. Okay. Thank God I never found the switch where I don't care.
I know, right? Because
I'd probably flip it sometimes. I get it.
I'm looking for it. I don't know where it is.
Exactly. I'm looking for this damn switch.
Pull the plug.
Thank God we never found it, Anthony. I not want to be these zombies. I'm going to come back, hand the baton to you. I got a few other articles to hit. Stay with us. This is what freedom looks like, folks.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If you're a
receiving this transmission, I told you over and over again, you are the resistance. You see it now, don't you? It was never a game. It was never bravado. It was destiny.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Everyone can now see it's inevitable. The clash between the Republic and the New World Order. The source of the globalist power is also its downfall. The stolen keys to the Renaissance will be returned to our hands if we take them. It is those of us, the progeny of liberty, who can pull the sword from the stone. The enemy cannot use it. That's why they've done everything they can to shut down open free societies while calling themselves the liberals. They are the enemy of all that is open and free. Liberty only means open, free, independent, wild. What is open and free and wild about what these people bring us? Trigger warnings. The family's bad. Independence is bad. Ban football. Ban contact sports. Ban language. So that these twisted crones can swim above us in the ether and feel more powerful than us. Because all they want to do is fallen wrecks is bring us lower than them. That is their destiny. And their destiny is to fall, ladies and gentlemen. I want to read the man in the arena by our former president, Mr. Teddy Roosevelt. Because, I should read this every day when the show starts. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who is at best in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Everything the social engineers do is to make sure you never have your mettle tested. I was talking to Anthony about this yesterday. Growing up in Philadelphia, he was talking about getting beat up and, you know, getting his nose broken and people robbing him and stuff, and how now, looking back, that made him stronger. And it's totally true. That which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And that's why they want us totally arrested, totally frozen, totally as our identity being losers, instead of using adversity to make ourselves stronger, using the adversity to basically piss our pants, roll over in a fetal position, and commit suicide.
No, exactly. Think about the exact enemy of all this is someone in the arena. They want to make you a critic. They want to make you sit down on the sidelines and look at people that are actually doing things and start attacking them and start mocking them. Think about a Roman arena. I mean, you don't want to go in and die, but at least you're going to pick up your sword and fight instead of sitting there like a sloth creature on the side.
I was about to say,
guy with the sword.
Because the people in the arena actually know they're conscious. In this system, everybody's in the arena, even if you think you're a spectator. And so this isn't even the classic gladiatorial arena. This is the real arena of life. You decide to die when you decide to not get in the arena. The only chance at life is the arena.
Exactly. But you can delude yourself into thinking that you're not a fighter. You can delude yourself into thinking you're above the game. You know what? I don't want to have to sit here and talk about this stuff. It would be great if everyone just realized everything. I don't like get deep pleasure from people not realizing stuff. The ultimate weakness, if you think about the people that are doing these things, the corrupt, horrible people, the real black art of people, if you think about the weakness, it's like going up to a five-year-old, okay? A five-year-old and equating that to someone that's turned off the light switch in their head. They don't care. They're unconscious. And you go up to the five-year-old and you lie to them and you say, there's a chocolate factory over there. Go over there. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Go into the chocolate factory. They'll probably be like, okay, does that mean you're powerful? Wow, you just duped a five-year-old. When you are duping people that don't have the level of understanding because they're too busy, they're exhausted, they feel like crap, they're unhealthy.
That's it. It's like Mike Tyson beating up a five-year-old and feeling powerful. It's a straw man.
Weakness.
And that's why they're so scared of Trump, is deep down they know he's a man, he's worldly, he loves life, though. Women, kids, wealth, spoiling the people around him, hiring tons of minorities, wanting to fighting the system. He's always been anti-establishment because he's done it on his own. They know that guy doesn't like them screwing everybody over. He likes to screw over the big and powerful. He likes to defeat the big guys. He admits that. And they know that spirit. They cannot stand that manly spirit.
And remember also, the whole point, this is in every PR book. If you've ever read PR books, or you ever read basically like not even marketing, but just kind of like organizing things
and
categorizing people and controlling them and stuff. The number one thing is always keep the focus off yourself. So what the globalist, essentially corrupt, crazy people do is the focus is on this. Like, oh, the focus is on race, or the
Black
focus
lives matter.
Is
we're
on
foreign
whatever,
banks,
Zika,
raping your whole country, taking
them.
Over, feeding
Trump,
you GMO.
Whether you love him or not, guess what he does? He puts the focus on them, and that is the scariest thing possible, and that's why the media is freaking out. That's why everyone's freaking out. The focus is finally on them again, because he's actually asking the questions. He's actually naming people. He's actually saying, hey, look, these people are screwing
up the
country.
Start that over, because I was interrupting.
But that's bad. That's why there always has to be a new thing. There has to be a new crazy scandal. Like, it has to be Johnny Depp's ex-wife or whatever. They're just desperately trying. Like, it's like a waiter, like, would you like this? Would you like this? And the American people are like, no, we want the red meat. We want the truth. They're like, would you like some souffle? They're just trying to get anything to be more viral. But they can't. That's why they're so pissed. Nothing is more viral than whatever Trump says. That's how he has defeated them. It's always now on them.
That's right.
The focus is on the establishment.
Repeat that, because that's so important. That's why they're so scared, because he knows to go, it's foreign banks, they're screwing you, it's rigged, and they don't want that. They're like, no, 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 you're not supposed to do that.
Hey, I apologize, by the way, if I interrupted. My audio completely cut out.
Oh, it's okay. I can tell your audio cut
now.
Out,
Anthony. I'm back now.
But if you can hear me now, please repeat
you
what you were saying. Elaborate on that, because you've hit on it. That's true. They're afraid of him because it's putting it back on them.
Exactly. They don't want the spotlight on them. They want to scurry around like little rats in the darkness and then tell you, look over there. It's like the classic military trick. Like, if you're a spec ops person and you have, like, a, let's say a little rock or something, and you throw it over there so it goes king, and then everyone looks over there like, oh, there they are. Get them. That's what they do. So they're running around doing all their dirty tricks, and then they throw a little pebble over there and it goes ding, and that's their little scandal. Like, that's their Zika, or that's whatever it is. Like, now they're trying to say, like, oh, like, this 17-year-old boy died after getting a hickey. Watch out. Like, any little weird, stupid thing to get your attention.
To make you
off.
Fearful, to make you be afraid of what's good in life.
Exactly.
Anything good, like mating or being informed or getting in a fight, which sounds bad, but it's normal, ritualistic. Anything like having a hard job. You know, it's like, no, having a hard job doesn't make you stronger. It makes you weaker. You've been screwed over. It's all about making you give up on life and not having those rites of passage that make you strong.
Primal instincts are the enemy of all of this.
Because people think of primal instinct as dumbed down. No, it's all the real essence of our highest intelligence manifested when we become primal.
And, you know, you think about it like this. So people could say, oh yeah, primal instinct or gut instinct. You know, Alex talks about his gut instinct a lot. Well, guess what? Your gut actually has neurons in it that are directly connected to the brain, almost as many as your brain. It is your second brain. It's connected in.
Your brain actually tells your body what to do through the gut.
Exactly. So all of this stuff that we say, oh, it's so stupid and old and like only people that are unscientific.
No, it goes back to this. When the brain's hungry, it tells the stomach to growl. Well, it's a lot bigger than that. The brain says, I don't like this through the stomach, because the brain doesn't have the same feeling, and it's admitted through ganglia in the spine into the gut. That's your brain, folks.
Exactly. So the point is, that's just one example.
It's your subconscious. It's way more powerful. Let's say 100 times more powerful on average than your conscious mind is telling you through your gut.
Yeah. So guess what?
That's the big brain. That's the thing with 1,000 IQ telling you what to do. That's why it's never wrong. The damn thing's so smart, it's incredible.
You have to listen to your instincts. And they can be screwed up through different things in the food and everything, but your instincts are there for a reason.
Exactly. And the enemy's trying to hammer our instincts and our innate programming that is so powerful.
Exactly. See, we live in a deluded world where, no, that's not true. You have to be academic, and you have to look at things and say,
you have to go through our system and use our definitions. It's all meant to minimize it and not unify the theory when everything is unified.
Verbal domination is control. When you control the language,
I mean, I talked about Gary Johnson. I asked the question earlier why he gets so pissed last time he was here. I was being polite. He couldn't stand it because I really had facts and history, and it was really an intellectual, and he was a empty, fake piece of filth, Democratic Party operative.
No, I don't know.
And I'm not bragging. I mean, I really know more than that sack of shit. Excuse me.
What happens is people use the system as a weapon, and that's verbal domination, which they say you're only allowed to say these words. You're only allowed to say that. This political correctness. But then they use that as a weapon in their arsenal. So they say, oh, well, Have you not been, have you not educated? What is your degree? Is your degree
not in this area? Well, notice he's talking about that going, you're not allowed to use the word illegal alien. I said, and he goes, why? He goes, I told you this, why? Well, shut up. You don't even have any real intellectual arguments. I'd say, well, why does Mexico have 6 months to a year hard labor? Why do they call me illegal alien? And I'd have the article right there. They use the same term. You know, it comes from Spain. He'd be like, he goes, no, you, the ruling class, taught Hispanics who are here illegal to be all hurt and angry like they've been screwed over and butthurt if someone dare says, hey, you got to follow the rules of other people. But see, the same Democrats and Republicans that did that make it super hard to be legal. There's all sorts of people like Watson and people I've got here that from Mexico that are here legally. You got to jump through all these hoops and paperwork to be able to have to work here. You should make it easy for smart, hardworking people to come work here. And that's what Trump's saying. But see, they cut off that part of his speech and just have him going, got a lot of bad criminals coming in here. Well, we do. See, it's all deception, folks. And I don't get off on deceiving the viewers and listeners. I get off on seeing us rise. And I know. Anthony, is the spirit of liberty not exploding right now?
It is. It's already, you know what? It's already there. It's already winning. It's already defeating everything. You think about the concept of what Francis Bacon, the spirit of liberty, freedom fighters, all this stuff is old. What's old is new. That's the funny thing, too. How many times throughout human history have we had this struggle? But every single time it seems like it's just so dampened an attack. It's like, don't you understand? This is the new age where we are focused on these new things and this pseudo-intellectualism of academia.
They create a whole butthurt world of it's Lynch Hall. They want to hang me. No, it's an Irish name that lynching got called because the Lynches hung their son. You know, it's like I get to get butthurt. I won the bingo game. Why play the butthurt game?
Yeah. Meanwhile, real intellectualism is curing diseases, is empowering people, is talking about things that really work, economic change, all this stuff. But we can't have any of that because we're too busy fighting in this little bubble of BS that means nothing. Because guess what? We got our attention focused there. We fell and got duped. Okay? We got duped hard. We got screwed because we became
soft. Well, you can see the con artist. I mean, if you go to like, you know, the New York and Times Square, that's Hollywood. That's trying to suck you into its little fake world, all glittery and beautiful. But you walk right around the corner to Central Park, and it's like, no, this is where I want to be. Even though you get mugged in there, you know, it's all safe to me where all the big TVs are and all the crap's being sold. But you go to where the woods are, then it's not safe, but that's where you want to be.
So I don't know if there's a syndrome or a symptom, whatever it is called for this too, but there's the Paris syndrome where people specifically from Japan go to Paris and they watch all these movies and cartoons like, oh, the Eiffel Tower is so beautiful. Paris is so amazing. And then when they get there, they have a nervous breakdown because it's not that nice. And the Eiffel Tower is rusty and there's people pissing on it and stuff. So they basically have a nervous breakdown panic attack. And I think it's called Eiffel Tower syndrome or Paris syndrome.
Well, what it is you think the grass is greener. Look, let's name a syndrome. I've seen people worship Hollywood stars, worship fame. I never worshipped it, but I thought, well, let me see it. Once I was at, and I mean plenty of times, the biggest parties, you name it, met basically everybody. These people were totally alone, totally unhappy. You couldn't pay me to now go be involved in all of it. But see, only 1 out of 1,000 people might see what I've seen, maybe 1 out of 10,000. So they still think it's like some magic, wonderful world. No, it's more like hell. Because you're not just there with a bunch of unhappy people. You're in a place with like smog and raining ash with a bunch of neurotic assistants. So again, it's that same syndrome.
Exactly.
They believe, and that's why people actually get power and then become even more broken down.
I was going to say Hollywood syndrome. That's why I was going to say it's almost like Hollywood syndrome exists. Even on a micro level, if people don't get to go to the parties and see all the craziness, also you can just go to Hollywood. It's not very nice. I mean, you go to Hollywood and you think like, oh, I'm going to just get bathed in oils and like hang out with Scarlett Johansson. No, you're not. You're going to go get harassed by homeless people. Okay. I mean,
and then if you're at the big house, there's a bunch of drug addicts and weirdos or fried people and a bunch of weird, you know, producers feeding off of them. And it's just totally unhappy.
It's vampiric. The society over
there
is
soulless.
Vampiric. Not everyone's bad. There's a lot of awesome stuff there, but there's vampires that they also want to just take all the people that
are. Well, I'll say this. You can hardly, I mean, I've got a lot of big invites out there and a lot of big stuff and I've been out there in years. You cannot get me out there. So, I mean, I thought it was just the oxygen before, but I noticed I started getting sick before the plane even landed. I'd be flying in, there'd be fires all around the plane like it's hell. Every time I flew in, just fires everywhere. And you'd see fires out the windows. And then you land, it's like zombies everywhere.
You mean you didn't feel like Hollywood was so glamorous and there were just stars everywhere and it was happiness?
No, and people know that I know people like Charlie Sheen and stuff, but that's the tip of the iceberg. Charlie's
it's funny, actually. If people knew the invitations you got that you put down, you say
point
no
is,
way.
The point is Charlie's had a lot of courage and had some problems. Point is that that's the tip of the iceberg. But I've been around other people bigger than him in Hollywood, and if you sit there and, like, play into the narcissism with them, and, like, it's like they're under mind control, then they love you. But the minute you're just like, they go, oh, you don't like it, or you're like, no, I'm gone. They're like, yes, it's horrible. I mean, these people are slaves. It is hell. Hollywood is hell, brother.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think all those production companies and everything, the wannabe people, they don't just say, oh, you're a great singer, come on in, and we're going to give you a great deal. They are vampires. They take all the wannabe people that don't have anything, don't have legal representation. They give them the worst deals possible. They control every aspect
of
their life.
Throw you out there and see what catches on, and then take everything from you.
Yeah.
And then have the boys drop by when they're ready to cash in on insurance, when they think your career's peaked, and inject you, and then you committed suicide. And they do. They do kill a large portion of the stars and the music people. That's why so many die at their peak at 28 or 30, because you're being murdered.
Sounds like a great system.
Sounds like I'm going to start my own, Anthony, and not screw people over. Exactly. We're creating the new world, brother.
This is the...
It's Renaissance. Yeah. It's the new world, baby.
In a dyad, right? So here's Hollywood and the fake establishment system. This is just independent, liberty-loving people that don't care, that are passionate, that want to get in the arena. They're not afraid of faltering to the system, right? It doesn't mean being totally insane and totally detached from reality, right? Because you have to use reality as a weapon, because reality is great. A third party of reality is amazing. But the dyad is actually shifting towards liberty once again. And I think this has happened a million times throughout history. You can look at all the ancient societies and you can look at...
I mean, I'll tell you this, for all their problems, I would rather be around hardcore combat soldiers than anybody, because just the vibe is so much more real compared to like a Hollywood fop. I mean, it's like this person's alive and real and honorable and way more powerful than this Hollywood producer that's worth $5 billion who's a total piece of crap. And I mean, that's or some trailblazer in media that tells the truth and has a strong spirit. I'm going to be around that, not just because somebody has a bunch of money.
Well, I think people are sculpted by what they have to face, too. And the thing is, you've seen a lot of things, and you come in here and try to tell people, they don't understand because they haven't seen it before. Just like someone who's a combat-hardened veteran has maybe seen kids die in front of them, has killed kids. And they try to explain that to someone, explain the value of things, and they're not going to get it.
That's right. It's about your experiences. And the globalists want to keep you an artificial experience, not real experience, so that you don't graduate to the hierarchy of human development. Anthony, come back, finish up with a plug, too, because we need to fund this operation. I'm going to go have this meeting.
Segment of the show. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Anthony Gucciardi. That was a great talk with Alex. It really, really puts things into perspective. And you've got to think about this too. No matter what you're doing, you are supporting something. So what did you do today? Maybe you went to Starbucks in the morning, you purchased a coffee, you're supporting Starbucks. Not that you're bad for doing that. I drink Starbucks coffee sometimes too. But what you're doing is every day you are supporting things. You're choosing to give clicks and views to some websites. You're choosing to financially support some groups, organizations, products, whatever. And it's important to support the organizations you actually like and that are actually doing something for you and giving you value and actually going ahead and projecting forward the things that you know are important. And the point of that is, the truth is, the products in InfoWarsLife.com are the very best. They're absolutely the top quality. We talk about the manufacturers that will have herbs fall on the floor and they'll sweep it up with a broom and they'll just put it back on the conveyor belt. Yeah, we don't do that. We don't gash prices and go crazy on people. It's super affordable. It's really good stuff. And right now, this is important because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is 20% off, which is, of course, the multivitamin drink. It tastes great. It doesn't even have stevia in it. It has xylitol, which is great for your teeth. It has everything you need, vitamin mineral fusion. And then, of course, BioTrue Selenium, which is brand new. It is 100% organic mustard seed extract selenium of the highest bioavailable form. It's absolutely the best on InfoWarsLife.com. And that goes great with X2, Survival Shield X2. It's the perfect pair. Synergistically helps promote thyroid health, support so much from like DNA production to eyesight. It's the real deal. definitely need to check it out, InfoWarsLife.com. And this is your last chance if you still want to get the Armageddon DVD with the free offers. It's the two of Alex's films for free, or a Colloidal Silver Bullet, which is $20, by the way. So it's $20 free if you get two DVDs of Armageddon. That special is going to be over. And by the way, the selenium is under $20. Okay, so you could choose to go to a gas station and get like a protein bar and some waters, and cost about as much as one product that could really help you and potentially change your life. So that's InfoWarsLife.com. Support things that you believe in. Support the operation that actually makes a difference. Even if it's not perfect, you're sitting here in the arena. We talked about being in the arena. I want to hit a few little news pieces here before we go. They're actually big news pieces. So look at this. Like it's been nuked, millions of bees dead after South Carolina sprays for Zika mosquitoes. And the reason I printed this one out, as you may have heard already, is the Zika hysteria. What did we talk about earlier? We talked about the concept of hysteria just being pumped in like adrenaline into the veins of the country, right? The media just, oh, Zika is what you have to care about. Don't worry about anything else. This is it. So they're just spraying all over the place to get these mosquitoes that could potentially, theoretically, maybe be carrying Zika. And yeah, maybe it is an issue, right? But as a result, they kill millions of bees, which are already in sharp decline and are responsible for 2/3 of the entire food supply. Now, let's look at this next piece too, as another example of this. So this is an article that was among the top on Reddit News, which is, I think, the number 5 website in the world. It's very, very big, especially for finding news. Man claims he has Pokemon, tries to lure kids in the car, police say. So Pokemon Go, the app, right? Oh, it's like you always hear about these stories of people trying to lure children into cars. And when I was younger, I used to watch the nightly news with my parents, and it would always be, watch out, your child could be kidnapped. This could happen. But the truth is, I printed out some stats, and we got to go to break here to end the show. But basically, more than 90% of kidnapped children are from friends and family. It's almost never that a stranger does it, and only 100 children a year are even kidnapped, a fraction of 1%, and half of those return home. So, wait a minute. Why are we so freaked out constantly? Your child could be kidnapped from a stranger. It's because they want to scare you about things like getting struck by lightning or this. A boy died after getting a hickey. Could you die from getting a hickey? It's all craziness, all distraction, all madness. Alex will be back on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And, of course, Monday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Anthony Gucciardi, this is the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.